Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Harry, I'm a little man. It's for the snow. And everywhere that Harry went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help sinned against you.
And welcome back to a live edition of Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. I am your host, Reese on the Radio, and that's what you will refer to me as every time that you talk to me. Anyway, the number's 347-308-8701. We are back. We are live as usual. And, you know, sometimes I get what's called, in a lot of ways, a reality check. I live every day with the memory of what it is that has happened to me. Now, I live with that. And I have to live with it, because if I forget it, let me put it to you this way. You know how everybody always tells you, never ever forget where you came from. So I have to live every day with what happened to me, how my entire life was changed. I have to live with that. Nothing worse. See, I never ever knew this would happen to me, but I know pain. I know sorrow. Everybody does. Everybody knows pain. Everybody knows sorrow. You've lost a loved one. You had a breakup. You had a divorce. Your child dies. Anything can happen to you. Everyone knows some form of pain. I'm no different from each and every one of those people. I have to admit that if there's anything in the world that you are not prepared for as a human being, you are not prepared for living a life where you are not believed. You see, it's one thing when you're telling your wife, no, baby, I'm not cheating, or you tell your kids that when they can't go to college, I did everything I could, and the kid screams at you, no, you didn't. You didn't do everything, and I'm not going to. And you tell your boy, nah, man, I didn't mess with your girl. I don't believe you, man. You guys are so... Those things are trivial. What I'm talking about not being believed is when someone accuses you of something like rape, in any form. In my case, it's even worse. Something unimaginable, like harming a child in that way. It's a devastating thing to hear someone accuse you of that, but to know that you are not believed. See, I can look at this and I can go, it doesn't matter. There are so many people who stand behind me, and I'd like to thank all those people who are on Facebook and those people who email me every day, even jurors in my trial who have emailed me and said to me, we believe you. We're sorry that this happened to you. We wish we could do more. If that were enough, I'd be okay. But see, sometimes it's not enough. And there are people out there who will get bombarded with comments by nobodies. by nobodies. Somebody sitting around with an itch, needing to defame you, to discredit you, to destroy you, with nothing else better to do with their lives. Living a quiet little life where no one's paying attention to them and having to wreak havoc on another person with no information to back it up, no proof to back up any of their claims. There are these people out there. Now, most people say, I don't owe anybody anything. Don't even bother with them. Hell no. Most people would sit up there and go, oh, just ignore them, Reese. They're nobodies. Hell no. There is no such thing as it'll all go away if you ignore it. I'm ignoring squat. If anybody wants to challenge me, you come right ahead and do it. If you got the guts, come at me. You coward, come at me. Now, I'll give you the details, but let me just say this. You see, coward, when you sent your email out today to the folks over at the radio station, I responded to them, and I CC'd you on it. I sent the email directly to you because I'm not afraid of you. I have no fear of you. You can't do anything to me because I will not rest until the truth is out. My life means more to me than you think it does. I'll fight you head on. I'll punch you in the face if I have to look at you. I do not fear you. You are small to me. I'll take it right to your face. The old Naughty by Nature record. I'm about to take it to your face. Right to your face. You're the coward. The number's 347-308-8701. You got 3 hours to muster up the nerve to get on the phone. I'll take you one-on-one. Now, let me explain what it is that I'm talking about, now that I've vented. Yesterday, we announced that we are starting a new venture with WLVS in the D.C. area. Today, I got an email from the folks, fine folks over there at WLVS. And they read me an email that said just this. Subject, Reese Hopkins on WLVS starting March 5th. I understand you're about to put an accused child rapist who spent 2 years in jail on your airwaves starting March 5th. I'd like more information out about this so that I can alert the authorities in regards to underage children near the Georgia Avenue area. I'd also like the names of your station GM program director so I can make them public for the press. I put the initials KM on ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can read it yourself. Now, I know who this individual is. This is not, you know, this ain't rocket science for me. I'm an investigative reporter. I can get anything I want. So I know who you are. I'm very familiar with who you are. It's very easy for me to put you on blast right now. If I feel like it, I'll just put your email address out there, and then you can get the response from those people. But I won't do that. You want to know why? Because the email you sent was harassment, stupid. I've been convicted of nothing. And you calling the authorities is harassment. You calling my future employers, suggesting that you are going to call the press on them because they hired a person who hasn't been convicted of any crime, is a form of harassment. But I'm not litigious. I don't care about suing you. I don't care about taking you to court. That's not how I get down. If you want a piece of me, The number's 347-308-8701. And I know you're listening because I sent you an email telling you to come and chime in if you feel like it. You didn't have information before. You didn't check out the website. You haven't checked out the details of my case. You know nothing. You just know what you know because you decide that you want to be blind to it. You have a narrative and you're sticking to it. I'm fine with that. But when you negate the truth, when you are trying to, in some way, scold others about what it is or what business they do with me, or you try to hinder my advancement, you try to hinder me making moves in my life, trying to move on with my life because you didn't like the outcome, that's where I have an issue. Oh, and by the way, there's no problem with the folks over at WLVS. They've given me their blessing. They apologized that I had to deal with this. They know I wasn't convicted. It's a pleasure doing business with you, Reese, they said. So you lose. Create all the attention you want. It's what I want. Call the press. Please call the press. Call every person in the press you can. I tried to call them. They don't want to do the story. Certainly because of the outcome, because of the accuser, because of the lies, because of the fact that the detective who investigated the case ended up testifying for me in the court of law. No press personality wants to even touch it. Because it only makes me look good when they get all the facts of the case, when they get all the evidence. So call them. Trust me, I've tried. Please, I implore you, do the job for me. Get the press on this. Please. I got transcripts. I got documents. I got testimony. I got it all. I got it all outlined. It's sitting there right there on my website, ReeseOnTheRadio.com. All you got to do is search Anatomy of a False Rape Claim. Just look it up. It's all right there. You didn't think that I was prepared? See, folks, this is the definition of reckless hate. Sure, there are plenty out there, people out there to say that they're haters. There are plenty of people out there, plenty, coming out of the woodworks. I am a qualified hater. I've been qualified. I've been certified. I worked, 8 long years with the Star and Buckwalt Morning Show. Qualified to hate. Went through the trenches. Had my name splattered all over the news. Muddied my waters. Qualified to hate.
Student of hate, if you will.
Student of hate. Thank you,
Head of the class.
Head of the class.
Valedictorian.
The spotlight from other so-called haters on the show. Bona fide, certified, qualified hater. So I can recognize reckless hate when it's there. You will not stop me. And your silly little emails won't work. Please. I tell you, I challenge you, and I say this with the boldness of my heart. Contact the press. Please, I've done everything to get them to listen to this story. I've done everything to get people involved in this story. Help me. Help me do it, emailer. Let's just call you KM for now. KM, friend, confidant, KM. Please help me. Send the email. Who do you want? You want Channel 7 news? You want Channel 4 news? You want Channel 9 news? Channel 8 news? Who do you want? It's impossible to believe that anybody of your caliber And like I said, I know who you are. Anybody of your caliber, if anybody checked out the things that you've done in the past, and don't think that I don't know where you come from, what you are about, if they ever knew, they'd be stunned. It almost teeters on racism, what you tried to suggest about me. But I won't call you a racist. You're a loser and a coward. Just by my response, just to show you how real it gets with Reese on the Radio, just to let you know, I responded to the email. And JC, should I read the email that I wrote back?
Sure, why not?
Now, let me read the email that I wrote back. I have to do it. Let me show you how real it gets. As they say in the hood, how real it gets when it comes to me. I forwarded the email to the person who sent it to me. The person sent me the email saying, hey, you know, Reese, we got a problem. Somebody sent this email, and I'd like to your response to this before we move forward. And, you know, I immediately saw it. I shuddered when I saw it. I didn't even know how to respond. Like, my heart jumped. I went, whoa. What's this about? And there it was. And I didn't, at first I was just going, wow. It's that serious. But then I read the email a little closer, really, really got a hold of what it was that was being said, looked at the information that they sent by, three-year-old information, no other new lines, no other new stories, no other new information, just the crux of the story, when I was accused. Because you read that, you just go, damn, Negro was accused. What the hell happened? And if you read that and you don't do the backstory, you don't do the research, you only get what it is that's put in front of you. And it's optics. All of it is optics. That's all it's about. Somebody comes to your face and they say to you, you know, hey, look at this. And you read that, you don't have any backstory. You don't have any background information. What do? You do what you're supposed to do. You respond to what it is that's in front of you. What's the story behind this? Wow, this really happened? And then I give them the new information, and what do? They mean to go, oh, okay, now I see. My first question was, well, why didn't the original person give you that info? Why would they keep that from you? Why would they shelter you from the truth? Because it's about a narrative, which is what liberals do. Oh, yes, this person is a liberal. You want to know how I know? Because I know who the person is. This person is a bona fide liberal. This person has called me names like a neocon. This person has expressed utter hatred for me. And damn if this email will not pop open. Okay, I got to go the old-fashioned way on this one. Forgive me. I don't like doing this. But it turns like, it looks like I've got
to
do this.
Well, while you're waiting for your email to pop open.
You go ahead.
It's obvious that this individual is unstructured, untutored,
right.
Untaught, knows little of nothing.
Oh, no.
This individual's not, they're not a hater. They're ignorant.
Well, yeah, they're uninformed, though. Yes,
extremely uninformed.
Uninformed hater. An uninformed hater.
Pathetic.
And they probably were somewhat informed. To some degree, they were probably somewhat informed. But I believe in this particular case, they chose to ignore it just because. You know, they needed a false narrative.
Well, they're lucky that it's not me, because had it been me, I'm the litigious type. And the best way to get at an individual who tries to make light of or use a very serious situation like this, mm-hmm. is to put them through the same thing.
Yeah.
I would make them spend money. I mean, the best way to get to a person, not by punching them in the face. You hit them in the pocket. It hurts more. I would put that person through the system. Because clearly this is harassment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not denying that it's harassment. I know that it's harassment. I know that
in every sense of the word.
The whole purpose is to harass me. The whole purpose is to harass me and in some sort of way make me fearful or make others around me fearful of being involved with me. I'm really, really hating this machine right now because I cannot get this email open.
We tried to bully you.
Yeah, and that was the thing. Like, don't bully me is just, that's even more insulting to me. To bully me. And this person isn't qualified to bully anybody.
You've been punched in the gut by worse.
If you want, you know what? Special request. You know what I'm going to do? Anybody who wants, seriously, email me right now at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Email me at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com right now if you're out there listening. And I have a special gift for you. I got a special little gift for you. And you'll love this. And you'll love this gift. You will love this gift. So, I hope that you do email me. I got to figure out this thing now and figure out how it is that I'm going to work it. I'm going to take a break for now. When we come back, let me see if I can fix this whole stupid email problem. I can't even get the damn thing up. It's driving me up the wall. I'll try to find something.
Anyway, guys, we'll be back.
Yeah, we'll be back. The number is 347-308-8701. Reach on the radio. We'll be
an Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
is a boy to do.
Good night, everybody.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back on blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio. Well, I put my challenge out there. I don't think you're going to call it. The number's 347-308-8701. Log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. Read the article I put up, Definition of Recklessness. You can get an idea what this about. Love this. I always rolling stuff under my thumb. I just looped it like a whole bunch of times. I just love the sound. Of course I did. Of course I did. Reckless hate. No. I don't need to. No. I know this person's a coward. There's no way in the world that this person's going to call. The number's 347-308-8701. I would invite the person. I almost felt almost compelled to give the person my personal phone number. You got a beef? Come get it. You know, if you really really got an issue with me, come after me. But I don't expect them to do that. I don't expect them to do that. So as we said in the last break, you know, I got this awful email. From the people over at WLVS, when I read the...
It was the email itself.
Well, the email was kind. They were very, very respectful.
Yes.
But the contents in the email were vicious.
The email from her to them.
Well, we haven't even disclosed the fact that it's a female yet, so we don't know.
Well, but she says she is.
Well, that doesn't matter. I haven't disclosed that it's a female. I mean, it could be. This is true, but it's a private email, so I don't have to disclose whether or not. I haven't disclosed the person's name or the pseudonym that they're using. But anyway, let me just, as I said before in the last break, let me go back into it. The person who wrote the email, who we refer to as KM, says in the email, well, the email I got was said, hey, you know, we met briefly on Saturday over at the station. This morning I received an email from KM regarding an issue that we need to discuss as soon as possible.
Hey, move your mic. Move your microphone. You're bubbling.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. This morning I received an email from KM regarding an issue that we need to discuss as soon as possible. Please give us a call when you can to hear your side of this issue. The email went on to say, hello. I understand you were about to put an accused child rapist who spent 2 years in jail on your airwaves starting on March 5th. I'd like more information about this so I can alert the authorities in regards to underage children near the radio station. I'd also like the names of your station GM and program director so I can make them public for the press. KM, apparently from Boston, Massachusetts. But here's the interesting thing. They put all of these links about the story when I was arrested. That's all the only thing they put up. And then they said, I'd like the names of the parties involved in bringing him to the station. KM, another, Boston, Massachusetts. Then they said, I understand you're about to put a child rapist who spent 2 years in jail on the airwaves starting March 5th. I'd like more information so that I can alert the authorities about underage children near the station area. I'd also like the names of the parties involved bringing him to the station. KM, NYC.
I saw that, too.
So now they're changing. They're changing their location. This is to mystify us. So anyway, my email went a little something like this. I'm not mentioning the names of the people that I wrote to just out of respect for them. You know, I don't know whether or not they want their name out there. So I'm just not. Anyway, Mr. Such and Such. These links will explain the issue regarding my case. It is quite obvious that KM has not done any research into the history and refuses to do so to create a false narrative. I've dedicated my life to stopping the onslaught of false claims of rape that have been running amok for the past few years since my story broke. I challenge anyone to read the transcripts of my accuser, who has now asked the DA's office not only to drop this case, but has hired her own attorney to bar her from having to testify or even meet with the DA's office. Her reasons were obvious due to the investigating arresting detective, Robert R. Buzo, who was forced to testify for the defense when the accuser changed her testimony on the stand, calling the detective a liar. Read the first link for a breakdown of that testimony. The link I sent, Anatomy of a False Rape Claim. Also, a link that the district attorney's office went to court and actually tried to file an injunction to have my First Amendment rights taken away so that I could not speak about the case. My lawyer's argument was simply this. If a reporter were in the courtroom and wrote down all the details of the trial and put them in the paper, would the district attorney's office tell the New York Daily News, the New York Post, the New York Times, and the Wall Street Journal that they did not have First Amendment privilege to a public trial? Before we even handed in our motion to throw their motion out, the judge threw the DA's motion out. So I'm the only person reporting on what happened in my trial. No one else is, which is why I'm asking this person who sent the email, please call the press. I need you to do that. If you can assist me in my PR campaign, please do. If you like, we could hire you as our public relations person. If you know, I know times are hard, the economy is, you know, dwindling, if you'd like. Further into my email, need I mention that my accuser was also arrested on Halloween of 2011 for gun possession after being witnessed with a gang threatening a young man in a pizzeria? I have the docket number, the transcripts of that case, if needed. I never raped, abused, assaulted anyone. Being accused does not mean guilty. Anyone can be accused. Anyone. Contact me immediately with any and all questions. The response was simple. Very, very simple. From the owner. From the top. Hey, Reese, just got wind of everything. Sorry you have this type of thing following you. We do not judge people here at the station. And from what I understand, you were not convicted. So this does not present any issue for us. Let's never speak of this again. Keep it moving. So that's it. That's where we are. Gentlemen, what do you think?
Well, I already told you how I felt.
I know you.
Had it been me,
you'd have sought similar.
The only way to get back at someone who tries to drive you through aggravation is frustration. It's likewise send them through it. That is harassment.
It is harassment.
And I'd call them on it.
James, how about you?
Gotta love the haters, man. Gotta love the haters.
My haters are not the favorite.
Gotta love the haters, because without the haters, winning wouldn't be as sweet.
You're absolutely right.
I was so appalled when Reese forwarded this email to me. I was at work. It was almost like I couldn't even get anything else done the rest of the day. Thank God it was in the latter part of the day, and I had most of my stuff done already. I was floored, absolutely floored.
But see, again, as I said earlier, James, and you weren't there. You know, I have flat out asked this person, you know, KM. You know,
yeah, I was listening.
You were listening before the first break? Because during the first break,
yeah.
I simply told, you know, the emailer, you know, look, you sent that email out to my associates, the people who I'm working with. You sent it to them this morning. When I responded to them, everything I just read in my response to them, you know, talking about the breakdown of the case,
mm-hmm.
I not only sent it to the person, the director, who sent them to me, I CC'd the emailer.
Huh?
I CC'd the emailer because the bottom line is that I've got no fear of you.
Okay.
You know, what it is that you are trying to, suggest is never ever going to fly as long as I have something to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
She's almost in a world on her own because that was the first time that I was really taken aback because personally for me, I mean, we've talked about it. I've looked into the case. I do have some knowledge on what has been going on. But I had not seen arrest photos. I had not seen court photos. I had not seen you in handcuffs. That was very, very, very difficult for me. But I went on to read. I read every story. There was like the Boston story, and then there was WordPress, and then there was the New York, was it the Times? The Daily News. So I read the stories, and everybody except for the Daily News had comments underneath, right? So I read all those comments. I read every single comment left. And people loved you. They don't believe it.
You see my point?
They don't believe it. There were some people that, you know, obviously had really harsh things to say.
And you can kind of
understand where that was coming from because they probably don't know you. But there were so many people that were like, we're going to miss you. We miss you. Good luck. We don't believe it. Never, you know, this couldn't have happened. Not Reese. You know, it was.
It sounds fishy.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry.
Hello, I just got assaulted with the microphone.
I apologize.
Hit right in the mouth. I didn't need that front tooth. That's okay. I'll get one for Christmas next year.
Now he's a woman beater.
Yeah,
stop
exactly.
Don't put that one out there.
I'm going to send that email.
You know, people said, you know, oh, this just doesn't sound, this doesn't smell right. There's something about this. Why did she wait 4 years? Why did, you know... It was compelling of what people said. You know, you had.
What are you guys eating chips?
Oh, that's someone else. I don't know. That must be JC.
No, I'm not eating chips. No. I was opening something.
Yeah.
My apologies.
That's okay. But pork rinds? No, I'm kidding.
No.
No. The point is again
pork
that
rinds.
You know, look, it goes with the territory. But you know what it was? You know the part that I have to say, and. You know, I can't save this to Therapy Thursday, but I'll tell you what it was that I really, really felt when I opened up that email and I saw it, and I read what the emailer wrote. My heart jumped literally out of my chest, because I said I had not dealt with that yet. No one had gone out there and made themselves available to give this information. Like, they were sort of, I felt like somebody was almost taking control of my life.
Well, but the surprising thing to me was that you're very open about everything already. Anyway, we talk about it on the show. You know, you put posts on the website.
Right.
So who doesn't know?
Right. It wasn't
like
I was hiding anything.
You were never hiding anything, you know. So it was like, okay, so you're letting people know this for what? What is your purpose? And who the hell are you, quite frankly? And no one really cares.
Yeah, and again, this was someone, I'm going to show you some information about the emailer that I have.
Oh, you have.
Of course. I know who the person is. I mean, that's why I said, it's not like I'm some dumbass. I'm an investigative reporter. This is what it is that I do. So it wasn't hard for me to find out who this was. You know.
Number 29.
No. That, of course, this could never be an ex-girlfriend. That's funny because, you know, if you were to ask anybody in the history of who it is that I've been with, every ex-girlfriend, it says the same thing. No, you crazy. This is not him. Never, ever would he not his type. Not his style. So you're never ever going to hear an ex-girlfriend come out and say, oh, yeah, he was a little awkward in that area.
No. She could have been scorned, you know.
Yeah, you never, even if they were scorned. Hey, I cheated on a lot of girls. They would all come up and say, no, he didn't do this. He's a piss ass when it comes to being a boyfriend. And they know better. Is that phone going to ring all day?
And little do they know it. I mean, I was telling James behind the scene, you've been punched in the gut by worse.
Oh.
I mean, literally.
Oh, you mean worse than this email?
Of course.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But you know,
No. I brought him back to the NYC return. Remember that one? November 2006.
When I returned to New York.
The 105-1 return.
Oh, that was in 2005.
What? Was it five or six?
2005, January 2005.
No. I'm talking about after the
105
period. Yeah. They started doing the contest in the morning.
Oh, for the replacement.
Right, the return. Remember they said it was, you know, Xbox's guest was returning back to the 105.1 family.
Right. That was tough, man. I was almost back at Power 105, and of course, yeah, it's, of course, again.
That was a harder punch in the gut.
That was a real, real hard punch, and I'll tell you this just to give you a little background. Literally, the family, myself, and the kids, we were running on hard times. I was doing everything to get myself back in the radio. I had the opportunity. It was December 2006. I was going to be coming back to Power 105, and I was ready to go. A letter of injunction and worst off, threatening to sue the station if I returned, for $10 million came up. And the station had to rescind their offer to me to return to the radio station.
For what?
Because one of my former... One of my former employees...
Behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes had threatened us. So, and told them not to return me to the radio
station. What basis did they have to threaten
saying
them?
That if in the event that I mentioned something on the air, at one particular time they were going to threaten a lawsuit, the station didn't want to take the risk, and they rescinded the offer. Now, what was worse about that was you were already penniless in my house. We had no money, no income. The kids went without heat that year. Kids went without Hanukkah that year. Kids went without everything that year. It was tough going. We were on our last leg, and that job was going to get us out of some sincere debt.
We did a lot of writing, a lot of emailing, a lot of
package
mailing.
And it completely, you know, again, but you're right. JC, you're absolutely right. I've been through worse. I've muddled through, and even after 2006 and July of 2007, exactly, I can say, just 6-7 months after that whole ordeal with Power 105, I get a Facebook message from an old employee in Hartford, Connecticut, asking me if I want to audition for WRKO in Boston. July all the way until October was the first day. October 12th was the first day that I went up there and I auditioned for 2 days. I did a Thursday and a Friday. They held a focus group a month later, and I got called an offer, and, you know, they offered me WRKO. So, I mean, again, we bounce back, we fight back. It's been a year, so, you know, it'll
you
be
were,
a year.
In fact, in Boston, you were sandwiched between one of Boston's top personalities and Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, exactly. I was right before Rush Limbaugh. So,
and
I mean,
a hot spot.
Yeah. I mean, for the number one demographic I had, I swear to God, my number one demographic, 55-year-old white men.
Love it.
They love me. Love me.
Yeah.
Especially Democrats.
Yeah, they love them up there.
Democrats are real. I don't know what that's about either. As a conservative, Democrats love me. Very weird.
Yeah,
but
the older crowd.
The older crowd was very, very, I mean, they were adoring to me in ways that I never, ever understood. And I kind of believe because
One of the things that I did when I was in Boston that I couldn't do on other shows is that I couldn't go out there and be involved with the listener. And I believe as a product, you have to be out there. People just can't hear you on the radio. You have to be out there and be engaging, shake hands, meet people.
You have to.
You have to be out there and be a part of the public eye. Don't act like a celebrity, like you're too good for it all. I believe
no.
you're going out there. So I would.
That's the New England listener. New England listeners, they have this thing where they feel that they've got to know and kind of on a personal level know their radio personality.
Exactly.
They don't have to know them, but they have to feel as though that you know they have that approach with them.
And what's even tougher about the Boston market is that Boston is such a rivalry to New York. Me being a New Yorker coming up there to do Boston radio, a lot of people were immediately saying to me, he's not one of us. He's from New York. They're a rival city. What does he know about us? What if he's, And my response to that was, you're not Mars. You're just Boston.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What I go
they
through.
They would like to think that
Yeah, it was like
Mars.
They like to think that you're Mars, but you're Boston. It's like the stuff that you go through every day, we go through too. We're human beings. You know, when the snow plows don't come during the winter storm, we get ticked off too. You know, when your mayor is either corrupt or not doing what he's supposed to do, we get ticked off too. You know, because it happens to us. You're not living some foreign life. You know, don't try to make yourself so secular. And people responded to that. Not only that, I got involved with those people. So the reason why, and the reason why I mention all this is, the reason why you saw those comments on those Boston articles after the story came out, and the reason why people responded that way, was because my reputation preceded me. Nobody was going to come out of 2004 and say I would do something like that, reporting in 2008, and all of a sudden a bunch of people who dealt with me every day, saw me every day, saw my kids out in the street, talked to me, shook my hand, said hello, conversed with me over the airwaves, was ever going to believe this bogus-ass story from 2004 that all of a sudden was revealed on 2008 out of the blue. Oh, it happened in October of 2004. And then I'm sitting up here telling you, I wasn't living in New York in October 2004. All you have to do is look it up. And then when people start looking up, they're going, wait, he hadn't been living there since June? And he'd been working out of state since February? Something stinks. And that's the reason why. So it doesn't matter what it is people like this do. But KM, again, it's Channel 8 down here for who's Channel 8? What network are Channel 8? Okay, all right, Channel 9 is CBS down here. Channel 4 is NBC. Channel 7 is ABC. That's ABC. And we have any other networks down here that KM should know about? Because she wants to inform the press, and I would like to help. Channel 5, that's right. They have a Fox 5 down here. Very familiar. Oh, yeah, and they would probably love. Yeah, please. Send as many emails as you can. Send as many emails as you like.
And the point is, you've been punched and gutted and stumped by words.
Come up, as a matter of fact, come up and join the panel.
Again, we've offered. But yes, exactly. Please. Right, we have a telephone.
Open. You can sit on screen.
No, they're not going to come all the way down here from where they are.
No, not a chance. See, I mean, they're lucky as you. I get a little worse.
I know you would, but I'm not, again, not fazed by this. Not fazed by this. Give the attention.
It's the last email. It was like, I was afraid of getting that. Like, I was waiting to get that email, and I was afraid of what it was going to say for whatever reason. And it was a very honorable. It was a thank you for the email.
Well, that's the reason why we do it. We do it at ReeseOnTheRadio.com. Again, if you'd like to log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com, you can read the article, the definition of reckless hate. Hey, you can read it too, KM. It's there. It's your email right there posted for everybody to see. Don't worry. I didn't put your name out there. I didn't put your email
out. I'm not going to give you any burn.
No burn for you. But if you want us to, we'll do it. Just send me an email. You have the address. I sent it to you.
Shame on you, KM.
Oh.
Hater.
It's just awful.
We'll take a break. We come back. We'll get into some news and some other stuff. We'll stop harping about me. It's Reese on the Radio, 347-308-8701. Kool-Aid Man is with us today. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the Radio.
Ooh, love hurts.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California Hot Tub Rectal Gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
What do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
Feeling that way? You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch. I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
Support my head! I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lois.
It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birthday.
Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking, and when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the Radio on DogTalkRadio.com.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back. We are live. The number is 347-308-8701 right here on blogtalkradio.com. Of course, again, check out reeseontheradio.com. Send us an email on reeseontheradio@yahoo.com if you like. You can read the new posting, Definition of Reckless. The reason why I'm so happy that I played that Stephen Hawking bit, I wasn't shocked to hear this story. And the reason why I wasn't shocked to hear this story was because I just knew the type of personality he had. And you can't sit in a wheelchair sitting in a wheelchair all that time and not be involved in some sort of dirtiness. Dirtiness. Now, I'm talking about Stephen Hawking, guys. And you know who Stephen Hawking is. According to a story that came out of the UK Mail online, and I love it when the titles of their stories are so long. Like, usually you hear, like, brief stories like, Stephen Hawking, such and such. This one, the title is A Brief History of the Time Stephen Hawking Went to a Sex Club. University says physicist visited California Swingers Club with friends. He may spend his working days contemplating the deepest mysteries of the universe, despite having been robbed of almost all physical movement by the cruelness of motor neuron disease. But it seems the world-famous British physicist Stephen Hawking also has an interest in more earthier matters. Cambridge University today admitted that the 70-year-old has visited swingers clubs in California, or at least a swingers club in California. However, they denied claims that he was a regular. The story emerged last week when a U.S. website reported that Professor Hawking dropped in at the Freedom Acres Club in Devore, where he said to have arrived with an entourage of nurses and assistants before paying for young naked girls to perform privately for him. Radar Online claimed that the Professor Hawking had visited the club in the past 5 years. A source told the website, "I've seen Stephen Hawking at the club more than a handful of times." Well, how could you not recognize him? But today, a Cambridge University spokesman said that it is not true that Professor Hawking is a regular visitor to the club in question. He doesn't deny that he's been there. This report is greatly exaggerated. He visited once a few years ago with friends while on a visit to California. However, it is not the first time a professor has been linked to a risque establishment. He has previously been photographed enjoying the attentions of young ladies in London's Stringfellows Club. Here he is pictured with a few, of course. A popular customer, he happily posed for pictures with the club's dancers. Owner Peter Stringfellow even declares himself as a fan of the professor. He said, "I'm often asked during interviews of all the people I've met who I am the most impressed with. Of all the film stars I've met, the majority are real nice people. Rock stars have a lot of fun and good company. Some of the richest men in the world can be surprisingly funny. But when all is said and done, Professor Hawking is the man." What?
And he's not the man for one risque visit.
He's the man. What? Easily one of the most intelligent men in the world, with one of the finest brains. I can't even say that without laughing. Easily one of the most intelligent men in the world with one of the finest brains. And on top of that, so brave, he takes my breath away. But he's very human with it. With
so
what?
Brave? What is he so brave about coming to the
I don't know. I remember him asking if he'd like to have a conversation with me about the universe or if he'd just like to watch the girl. The answer was quite simple. The girl, stupid. Well, he said the girls. I added the stupid because that's what the question was. Now, you're probably, JC, are you wondering why this story is important at all?
I'm just wondering, with someone with so much brains, why is he still out seeking more?
Why? He, I can't believe you just said that. Of course he would be. Listen, Stephen Hawking is sitting in a wheelchair. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting in a wheelchair. He's practically got to let a computer talk for him. He can't
right.
speak for himself. I mean, what about urges of the flesh? I mean, he's a human being. Isn't he?
Without really knowing him, what's his ailment?
Oh, well, I can't really pronounce it, but hold on. Let me see if we can get the exact name of his ailment. Yes, it is motor neuron disease.
Motor neuron.
Oh, is it motor neuron? Okay, motor neuron disease. So, I mean, I don't think.
Well, why
I mean,
not?
I mean, he can't.
Take him to Cahoots.
He can't. Yeah, take him to Cahoots, right?
Some of the finest pole dancers on the planet.
But maybe somebody like a Stephen Hawking can really appreciate the flesh with his mind. I mean, you think?
Well, the man's a genius. All right? He obviously thinks about everything. Why not his body? You don't think his mind was in space all the time, was it?
Wait. Hold on. Let's do the top of the hour. I knew this was going to get into a deep conversation. I didn't intend it to. I apologize. We'll
strip
be back.
Clubs in Los Angeles?
Yeah, exactly.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Any other little man is quite a soul. And everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help sinned against you.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back, top of the hour, just 1 minute after the hour, 8:01 on the Eastern Standard Time. We're on with, of course, Kool-Aid Man, James Montgomery, and JC, the producer, and, of course, Mary Mary, why you bugging us here. Of course, please remember that on March 5th, Monday, we will be on WLVS from 8 to 9 p.m. It'll be our inaugural show with the station, and we're happy to do that. We're happy to be there. It's going to be fun. We will make it entertaining. It'll only be an hour, but we hope with the attention that we get and the noise that we make that people will be rushing to have us go on for at least another hour, so we can make it a two-hour show, and definitely more days in a week. But we'll do that. There will be, of course, and we're talking, you know, everything that you could possibly think of. It's going to be fun. So we're going to have as much fun as we possibly can when we do that show. So again,
as much noise as we can.
Absolutely, and you can log on to listenvision.com. You can also watch the show live if you don't want to. Well, you can listen to it online, but you can watch it live because we'll be right there in the studio. So we were talking about Stephen Hawking. So, again, probably asking the question, why do I find this interesting? Do you think that it's possible? Now, look, I've made the argument over and over again, guys. I've made this argument over and over again. I said to you, and JC, you'll remember this vividly because you were almost baffled when I made the comparison. I said, I am going to prove to you that homosexual sex is just like a guy's appetite for midgets. You remember when I said that?
Yes.
And you said, you really? You're going to make that association? And I said, easy. You remember how I made it. I said,
yeah.
Sexuality starts at the brain. That's where it starts.
Yeah.
You cannot be aroused. You cannot be interested in anything unless your brain reacts first.
Wait a minute.
Your brain is reacting to your smell senses, to your
visionary
senses.
All brain.
I beg to differ.
Yeah, but no, it's not.
No. Your smell.
I'm challenging you on this one right now.
Your senses are creating a reaction by the brain.
Wrong.
No, it is not. Well, okay. I mean, in essence, the brain controls those.
That's right.
I'm going to question that right now.
Go ahead. Your senses are all functions of the brain.
Yes.
Unless it's all about nerves.
All functions of the brain.
Okay. Now, I say that to say this. I have a couple cousins. I always got a personal story.
Sure enough, do.
I have a couple cousins who...
You want to tell us about Chiquita?
It's, what I find funny, JC, is that you have a plethora of relatives.
I do. I come from a huge family.
Okay. So what happened with your cousins?
you're sick, man.
Go ahead.
My cousins. I have a couple cousins that worked in a convalescent homes.
They live in what homes?
In convalescent homes, nursing homes. people that I don't know. I don't want to say that they're in comas, but they're awake. Their bodies won't respond. Their eyes are open.
Mm-hmm.
They get fed through tube. They don't move. And I can't recall what the name of the condition was that they're in. But we don't get together too often. But when we do, I sit like at a barbecue, they'll sit and talk.
Uh-huh.
And one time the subject came up of washing an individual down.
Okay.
And the man, like I said, the man couldn't speak, couldn't move, in a bed, eyes wide open. I don't even know if his eyes shut when he went to sleep or not. However, they were speaking and they were laughing, joking about it, because when they washed him, this guy's nether regions would respond.
Okay. So you're saying because he was sort of like incapacitated?
In a vegetative state.
In a vegetative state, fine. And his body would still... But that's still... Remember, if he's in a vegetative state, that's all fine and good. It's still the sense of touch, which is, again, responsible. I mean, the brain is responsible for that. So when I look at Stephen Hawking, what I'm saying is, okay, neither one of us who have the ability to touch and to engage physically and to smell, although, you know, he can smell, of course, but to engage physically, we sort of take those things for granted. What I'm wondering is what do you think Stephen Hawking is enjoying? Is it just the sight?
No, because you can get that at home on a video.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. He can just watch a video of like some of the most raunchiest things in the world if he wanted to. Whatever he's into.
No, I don't think he was just enjoying the sight, because he could still feel, correct?
Yeah, but the girls are dancing for him. I don't think they're suggesting here that the girls... Well, maybe they touched him. Maybe they, like, put their hands over
his
shoulder.
Well, I mean, come on. If he was getting a lap dance, they had to at least brush up against him. And how many times do you think they straddled his face?
Oh, that's just... No, okay. I don't think they did that.
James, you have to look at the picture of him. He is in a very similar... wheelchair, very similar to the device that Christopher Reeves was in. So that would be kind of impossible. And he may
Did you not see that apparatus Janet Jackson brought on stage in Hawaii?
What?
No, I'm afraid we didn't.
What?
Some apparatus Janet Jackson put on the stage in Hawaii. Here's what it is, my point is. Yeah, you're probably right, James. Yes, they were probably touching him. They're probably lap dancing, like rubbing against his thigh or stuff like that to get his body a reaction. But
his body may not have been able to react it because of that neuron.
Sitting on the handles.
Sitting on the handles is so funny. Because of the neurons, there's a neuron deficiency there, and his body may not be able to react that way.
But here's my question.
Neurons are in the brain.
Right. Here's my question. So is it just me, or is it that I believe that every man needs to, you know, they need to, you know, some sort of release, so to speak.
They need to crack a walnut every now and then?
Okay, there you go. Good line. I like that one. So he needs to crack a walnut. I like that one. So he can't physically crack a walnut. How does he then make up for that?
He cracks one in every part of his brain that still functions.
I don't believe that.
Just because he can't physically react doesn't mean he can't feel it.
Okay, I'll agree with you, man.
Yes, this is
all right,
what
basically, there's a chemical reaction. All right, just because the parts don't work doesn't mean that the juice still isn't moving around.
Wow, did you have to refer to it in that manner?
Well, hey, you know, I was thinking, you know, informed in terms of, like, electrical impulses.
Right.
But
okay.
That's the problem. He has a neuron, there is a neuron disease. There's something.
Electrical pulses, James?
So the neuron.
Well, everything that he.
Electrical pulses, yeah. The brain sends, fires neurons, it's an electrical pulse.
But the brain, his brain is probably not sending those pulses because your neurons control those pulses.
This is also true.
And what is the name of that disease? I'm going to look it up real quick.
Hold on, I'll get you the exact name. You're saying, wait, you mean his neurons are shooting blanks, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Just want you to clear. I just want to make sure.
And then, then there's endorphins. They're chemical reactions. I'm just saying, man. Just
eat chocolate, throw in a movie.
It says has motor neuron disease. So, in other words, he has no motor skills.
No motor skills. Again, you're saying he has no motor skills. But, again, everything else, all physical attraction and sensations are not motor skilled.
But see, here's an interesting thing. They say that he's been robbed of almost all physical movement by the cruelties of motor neuron disease. I don't know what parts of him don't move anymore. I mean, he's so...
Well, think about it. The man is a mental genius, correct? And so if the brain is still working, and that's where everything is coming from, it's just the rest that's, I just can't move. No one said he couldn't feel pain. Nowhere is it written that he couldn't feel anything. They just said he couldn't move.
This is true. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to figure out whether or not he has a capability to enjoy anything, for that matter, that might be auditory or sensory sensitive. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, there are a bunch of pretty girls dancing around him. He may like the look of them. He may, of course, being as brilliant as he is, he can clearly discern beauty and sexiness and what's sexually attractive. But I'm wondering whether or not can he not reach peaks and horizons? Can he not salute the flag? He could probably salute the flag, but the problem is, does the horn blow?
So, you know what? Honestly, it says that he was in a swingers club. Please don't hit me in the mouth again with that.
Well,
you're getting very close.
Sorry. Yes, he was in a swingers club. So he was watching.
This is my forte. We've spoken about
it. Yes, swingers.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Swinger club is your forte?
Wait, did you notice? His microphone went way up, and I had no control over it. He said,
it wasn't the only thing.
Thanks, Chase. I appreciate it.
I tell you, get away from the microphone.
Can you see?
So you're saying he was at a swingers club. Yes. Now, again, I was thinking about that as well.
He was at a swingers club. He probably has, he's got to have, in order to even be able to, like, I say that's my forte, it's not my forte, I've been to one, okay? Seen many movies about others.
Okay, let's just move on. Go on.
it's visually entertaining.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's got to be able to have some kind of physical... He's got to be able to feel something...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Can he just...
That would be a waste of time.
Right, exactly. Exactly my point. I'm saying that is he just watching something from using his brain in this essence. Okay, so he's watching it. His brain is involved. He can't really do anything because he's physically incapacitated. So what's the sense? Look, again, we sort of take those feelings and those abilities for granted. So is he on a higher plane than us, or can he be on a higher plane than us because he has to strictly use his mind?
I'm just saying that just because he couldn't use his body doesn't mean he can't still feel a sensation. And then there's the fact that men in general, as a species, are very, what's the word I'm looking for? They are very, very visual, very auditory, as you said.
Right.
So it's, these things are still going on. I say more power to them.
Well, I would love to know. I mean, like I said, considering the fact that he is considered one of the greatest minds, my question is one of the greatest minds capable of having sex just using the brain? Like, that's a wouldn't that be great if you didn't have to do anything and your mind could possibly control everything? You just go, you just literally stand someplace in a room and just allow a part of your brain to find that place, and you can have the greatest sex of all, and, you know, if, you know, whatever, without having to touch yourself.
Actually, it already is, or at least so they would have you believe. It's called tantric.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
They're calling the disease MND.
Yeah.
And it says here, while MND does not directly affect a person's ability to enjoy a normal sex life, the effects of the disease, such as fatigue, muscle wasting, and dependence on others, can impact on sex. It may be helpful to discuss your concerns with a counselor.
So
apparently, I guess he can.
So he can physically perform an act.
Yeah, well, I mean, that could also be said that just the fact that he was there, doesn't that make it a moot point? Doesn't make all the speculation a moot?
No. That's the reason why I'm asking. It's like, if I'm wondering, because I'm looking at Stephen Hawking, and you've seen the picture. The picture looks like, I mean, he looks like a vegetable. And I'm wondering, has he tapped?
Yes, he always had a smile on his face.
Yes, but has he tapped into something? Has he been able to tap into something that we don't know about it? I mean, this guy is like one of the most brilliant minds tapped into something. Ha ha. Has he one of those brilliant minds? Has he tapped into something that we've only begun to understand? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. It just seems interesting to me. I'm compelled by this. Because it's Stephen Hawking, and I'm wondering. That's why I have that little promo. You know, I'm Stephen Hawking. I love the guy. Don't get me wrong. I think he's brilliant. But when I saw this story, of course, people couldn't believe it because, you know what they're saying. How can he do it? I think that's pretty much what they're saying. So, anyway, we'll take a break when we come back. There's plenty of news. Wait a minute. Excuse me. Hold on 1 second. Mary, can I get my pat on the back, please?
Your pat on the back.
I deserve a pat on the back. Every time I'm right, I get a pat on the back.
You know what, James? You know what you missed last night?
No, forget about that. Let's talk about what I get a pat on the back for.
What do you get a pat on the back for?
The Ohio shooter.
I didn't say
you disagreed. I just said when
you
I'm...
My pat on the back.
Well, we'll pat you on the back. Okay, there's your pat.
Okay.
What did I say yesterday, JC? What did I say yesterday, JC, about the Ohio shooter? JC?
Oh, we said so much. I'm trying to think and exactly what it is that you said.
Oh, and sum it up. Let me paraphrase. I said that the press was going to announce what about the shooter?
Make him a victim.
And make him a victim of what?
Of bullying.
When we come back, we'll talk about it. He has now been called a bullying victim. Just like I predicted yesterday, when only one person had been reported dead, It's been pushed up to three. Three people dead in the Ohio shooting. We'll break down the story. When we come back, it's Reese on Radio.
I love it.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Garrett Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio. We are back live on Blog Talk Radio. The number is 347-308-8741. If you'd like to be a part of the show, send an email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That's Reese spelled with an S. For you people over on Backlick Road. And it's reeseontheradio.com if you'd like to send us a, you know, check out the website. Yeah, that's my new thing now. Backlick Road.
Yeah.
There's a real road called Backlick. Down here in the DMV, that is the BC, Maryland, and Virginia area, but it's called Backlick. I love this name, and now I'm calling it Backlick. The reason why I call it, you know, for the people out in Backlick Road, because only a a dumbfound knucklehead would live on Backlick Road. I wouldn't want that as my address. I wouldn't even put it on my mailing address.
Well, I used to live on Dixon Street.
Dixon is a good name.
No, I used to live on Dixon Street, and my email address was at cox.com.
That's because of the damn cable company.
I know. But can you imagine telling somebody your address and then having to tell them your email address as well? Yeah, I live at 555 Dixon Street, and my email address is such and such and such at cox.com, and I would have to say cox.com.
Yeah, because I would be confused. Speaking of horrible names, this is a true story. When I first started working in Hartford, Connecticut at Power 104, our address was on 10 Columbus Boulevard. Anyway, so when we went down there, when I had to sign all my paperwork, and I'm filling out all my paperwork, my insurance stuff, you know, my employee W-2 and all that stuff. So we had to fill it out, and they told us, hey, go to the administrative office and go meet with Crystal. Crystal will give you all the information. She'll help you fill it all out. So I said, okay, fine, because I had not filled out all this AFTRA stuff, which is, you know, the radio sort of union that you have to be a part of. So I had to sign all that. So we went back and we went to go see Crystal, and Crystal came out. She was a nice woman. She came out, sat with us in the conference room, and she gave myself and the producer then all of the information. She's going over it. She was very, very painstakingly went over every document. And she was so helpful. She was such a nice woman. And so it was over, and we filled it out. And there was one piece of information I had to fill out because I didn't know whether or not I was going to put the children on the insurance and all this other stuff. So as a walkout, she goes, well, you know what? Don't fill that out now. Give it to me after the weekend. Here, take my business card. So I take the business card. I put it inside my jacket pocket, and I, you know, walk off, but go on home. And I'm emptying my pockets, and I grab the card, and I say, oh, got to make sure not to lose Crystal's card. I grab the card, and I look at it, and I burst out laughing. And so everybody in the house is like, what the heck is so funny? I'm like, this cannot be a real business card. And sure enough, it read, the head of HR, Crystal Glasscock. I swear to you. I swear to you. That was her name. The most insane name I've ever heard in my entire life.
She must have been Whitney Houston's best friend.
That's just awful. That was her name. So I feel awful for her, having to have that name, but that was really her name. As I reported, of course, in Ohio, the young man who's also, is being charged, he's already been arraigned, his name is T.J. Lane. He is a young man who is being accused of allegedly shooting several people at his Ohio high school. There are some photos that came out about him. The part that upsets me about this story about T.J. Lane is they're showing his Facebook photos, and they're using the word chilling photos. Now, I've seen the picture. You want to see the picture? Let's see the picture of this chilling photo. J.C., have you seen the chilling photo of T.J. Lane?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. How in the world is this photo chilling? And let me describe it.
It must have said
it's a photo with him chilling. That's what they meant to say. But they called it a chilling photo. It's him leaning up against the wall, taking a photo of himself, chilling. Chilling Facebook rant, die all of you. Third student dies in the Ohio school shooting. Apparently, the shooter is a bullied outcast. My question is this what it is that we can expect from the new bully? Like, I never hear girls who are bullied going up. And that's the part that I'm finding so amazing. They kill themselves, but the boys kill others. And it's a strange dynamic for me. I'm trying to figure out what the deal is. I mean, why is it that the boys are more prone to violence? I mean, we're going to talk about this case about the young man who jumped off the George Washington Bridge when he was videotaped kissing his gay lover. at, and he was videotaped doing it from an Apple laptop. But why is it that the girls hurt themselves, but the boys go out and hurt others? Is there something that I'm missing here?
Because the boys ain't stupid. I'm not hurting myself. I might hurt you, but I'm not hurting myself.
So you're saying that boys have are more prone to self-preservation?
Probably.
No, boys are more antagonistic.
Mm. This I agree with, James. Boys are more antagonistic. I'm hearing from the background that boys don't like pain. Okay, I sort of agree with that. But do you think that it's something that boys are inherently taught to inflict pain on others when they are in pain, James?
Well,
makes you feel better.
Yeah, you're told to suck it up. You know, boys don't cry. Boys, there's no other way. There's no other outlet other than hitting something.
My mother told me when I was a kid to suck it up, and if I didn't, she was going to give me a reason to cry.
Well, we all know you're different, Mary.
Wait. I'm not different.
Very.
Yeah, but, I mean, why would he randomly shoot people? See, I almost feel like that's odd, because I would almost think that someone who had been bullied would be much more methodical. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not suggesting that someone should do this, but I almost feel like random shooting seems ridiculous. Why not go after the perpetrators of this bullying?
Well, because the point is that this wasn't because of bullying. The boy is crazy. He belongs in a rubber room in a straitjacket.
Is that a medical diagnosis?
He's insane. Insane in the membrane.
I don't agree with that.
You have to be insane to stand in the middle of a cafeteria and shoot your classmates.
If you hate high school, some people push to that point.
If you hate high school,
I mean, it's crazy, but I don't condone it.
I might have beat up a two, but I didn't shoot nobody.
I understand that, but the bottom line is that here's somebody who had access to guns, obviously.
So you're saying you go into school because you hate high school and you're just going to start shooting people,
high school is taking people out. High school is. Go ahead, James.
I almost did. If I had a gun, there was a couple of times I wanted to just go in there. I mean, Reese and I, we used to get bullied horribly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I was privileged. I went to Cardozo.
What my point is that high school is a frightening place because it is an advancement into adulthood in ways that people don't know. Because high school never leaves you. Everything is high school after high school.
Of course.
Everything in your life. Everything becomes clicky no matter where you go, no matter what you do. College is even more clicky. You know, your adult life, the community that you live in, there are cool people, there are the not cool people, they're the druggies, the stoners, the cool, you know, the hangouts, the thugs. Everything is clicky. When there are young people who go into high school who are not prepared for that, junior high school is great for young kids because they're stuck in one class, they're around the same groups. There's a sense of clickiness.
I wasn't stuck in one class.
No, not in junior high school.
No, in junior high school, we had only a semblance of high school life because we could walk to the next class, you know, by ourselves. But we all ended up in the same class with the same people. So, you know, we had little doses of what high school was like. But high school is different. Every place you go, every class you go to is a different group of kids.
You're more individualized in high school. You're not going to go with the same group of people for the next period into, you know, science.
Right. One person will have workshop, another person will have phys ed, another guy will have, you know, lunch, another guy. It's very, very different.
It's more like preparation for college, and even more so nowadays than in the times that you and I went to school. But that still doesn't, I don't care what's going on. There's something obviously much worse than what is happening in school for you to take a pistol to school and decide at lunchtime that you're just going to start shooting them up.
Well, maybe there's a pressure. I'm not, again, not condoning anything that this young man did.
What pressure, Reese?
Sure, there are pressures.
But what pressure makes you shoot somebody?
Again?
There is no pressure to make you shoot somebody. There is something in the neurons not going off properly.
Did you see The Breakfast Club?
Yes, I did see The Breakfast Club.
Do you remember Anthony Michael Hall's character?
Yes, I do.
He brought a gun to school. His character, the reason why he was in detention was because he brought a gun to school. He brought a starter pistol, and he was going to kill himself, so he said. You know, but that was the kind of angst he felt. He felt so much of an outcast that he couldn't fit in, he wouldn't fit in. People made him feel ostracized. And it can take you one of two ways, to either harm yourself or harm others.
But
that's
there
where
has
people
to be,
go.
But there has to be something going on at home as well.
I don't agree with that.
I do.
I don't agree with that either.
I don't agree with that. Because it almost sounds like you're trying to blame the parents. Maybe the parents
weren't. No, I'm not blaming. I'm not placing blame on anybody. I'm saying that in order for you to pick up a gun, a loaded weapon, and take it with you with the intent to bodily harm someone or to take their life, there is something wrong with your brain function.
Well, listen to this.
No, it's just like...
Listen to this.
Well, then there obviously has to be something wrong with your brain function if you are going to go to school, a social place, and terrorize a person simply to either make yourself feel better or to make your friends laugh. You are willing to degenerate someone to the point where they feel worthless enough.
Right.
Then there's something wrong with your neurons as well.
I agree with you, James. I agree with you.
Here's a synopsis that I want to give you, Mary, and try this on for size. The boy goes home, or the girl, whomever it is, the child goes home, and the mother and father are loving and adoring, and they treat the child with respect. They care about him. The child comes to this sort of summation that says, yes, of course my mom loves me. Of course my dad loves me. But they love me because they're supposed to. I'm their child. But their life is spent in school. Their life is spent outside of the home. They only spend a certain amount of hours at home. They only spend a certain hours with those people who love them and care about them. So there's not a lot of character building or character acceptance from those people who love him unconditionally because that thing becomes a norm. Now, when they're out there with people who they're trying to impress every day, because you know, kids, high school kids especially, everything that they do, they get the new phones, they get the newest gear, they get the hottest sneaker. You know, they dress a certain way to get that that appeal or that adoration, that acceptance, exactly, from their peers. Their peers are put on a higher level than those who matter the most because they think that this social acceptance is the world to them. Here is a child who has completely been ostracized. He's not getting that social acceptance. He never will. He's completely, and again, not advocating it. Completely saying, that's it, these people are just abusing me too much. Their acceptance or non-acceptance, for that matter, is so damaging to me that I have to respond. I'm at wit's end. I'm backed into a corner. Someone has to pay for my angst.
Well, you go and punch a kid in his mouth. You don't put a pistol in his face and shoot him.
I agree there.
Guard your will and knock him up.
Go ahead, James.
Say about your earlier comment. More often than not, even if you're getting that loving feeling at home, you know, there's always that general thought that, okay, well, my parents love me, but they have to.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's exactly my point. I'm saying my parents love me. They are because they do love me because they're my family, and it doesn't matter to these young people that they don't put it on such a grandiose level. That is so important to them, enough for that to be enough. What they find important are these relationships with people who were of no consequence to them, just people at high school. But because that this is such a social gathering, this is such a, I mean, this is epic to them. Being accepted at high school is a big deal. Look at the prom queen. Look at the jocks. Look at the princesses. Look at the stoners. Even they've got cool people to hang out with. I don't fit in any of those places. I'm the odd man out.
So cut school. Don't go. Drop out. Get your damn GED. Don't shoot folks. Do like I did. Go to the corner store and get you a 40 or OE 800 and hang with your friends.
But they didn't have any.
I really didn't have any friends. I had friends in high school because we went to junior high school with, but when I got into high school, I was bad. I mean,
you were popular, weren't you, Mary?
I was popular. Yes, I was popular in school, but I was much more popular out in the street with my friends than I was.
Wait, so then it's Can it be fair to say that it would be hard for you to understand because you didn't personally go through it?
No, because, in elementary school, in like the fifth and sixth grade, you know, I had girls that, you know, that would like tease me. And I actually had this one girl that we were going for Easter vacation or something, and she smacked me right in my mouth in front of everybody. She punked me, and I made a decision at that point in the sixth grade, and I ended up hanging out with her way later, years down the line. We ended up becoming very good friends. But she smacked me in my mouth, and I made a decision at that point. There was no way I was letting this girl smack me in my mouth and punk me, and I was going home and have to fester on this for the whole Easter vacation. So I smacked the daylights out of her. I smacked her like I came from Harlem and smacked her in her mouth. And she shook my hand. Like, she was like this, she was probably, I think she was a lesbian, and she was very, very, very butchy, and she was bigger than I was, and she was just a bully to me. I was like, what is your problem? Do you like me or something?
It sounded like a date request.
What does a bully do?
I don't know.
Yes.
What does a bully do? A bully preys on weakness up until you show that you're not weak anymore. But that's why, like you asked, why I pick up a gun? Because, you know, usually you feel that you can't physically do anything else.
But you know what? But, James, and that's where most people, you underestimate your own strength, especially in a time that you're being pushed to the edge.
But again,
like, I thought that I was going to smack her, and we were just going to, I thought that I was going to smack her, and she was going to look at me and stand there and laugh, and we were going to go for blows.
I understand where you're coming from, but hear me out. This young man, as young as he is, I think what really went on in his mind was, one, how was he going to be able to compete with these people who were probably, who were probably putting him down? How was he going to be able to respond to them? Again, this is a young man in school. Kids don't understand that they define what is and what isn't cool. What they believe and what they're made to believe, and you can blame anybody you want, what they're made to believe is that they need to fit into something in order to be accepted. And they don't understand that they determine their cool. If nobody wants to be cool with me, screw you. They don't understand that. They don't even have they don't have the sense to at least say, you know what, if nobody wants to be, you know, be cool with me, I'm just going to be cool with me. Shit, if they're not cool with me. This is what low self-esteem is all about. Having experienced it, and all of us have had our moments, but there comes a time where you're either going to put up or shut up. You know what? I'm no longer going to feel sorry for myself. If they don't want to hang out with me, that's fine. Derek has got the greatest line ever that I knew when I was in my mid-20s. Derek said this, I'll never forget it. I thought it was arrogant, but I now, because I'm smart enough, I understand how brilliant it is. If you don't like me, there's something wrong with you.
Exactly.
And I love that. And
your arrogant self would love that.
Because then I wasn't arrogant. I didn't have enough.
When were you not arrogant, Reese?
I wasn't.
Oh my God. You've been arrogant since before you came out of your mother's womb. You were born that way.
I'm not arrogant.
You have been an arrogant.
Well, I wasn't arrogant then.
Yes, you were. You were arrogant at 18, 19. Yes, you were. You've been arrogant since the day you were born. You were arrogant, conceived with arrogance.
That's
pompous and arrogant.
I was good. Pompous.
Okay, that's where it was.
Where what was?
I don't know. You asked the question.
Yeah, I did. I said thank. And I was telling James Montgomery, thanks for chiming in on defending me about my arrogance, James.
About your allergies? Oh. about your arrogance?
Arrogance. Thanks for chiming in and defending me.
Oh, well, actually,
his arrogance or abundance thereof.
Anyway.
I was trying to see if I actually agreed or didn't agree, because we were pretty arrogant about ourselves. That's why it didn't matter if no one accepted us.
Thanks,
it
man.
Hurt. It really
also, you had your own little offy clock.
Your arrogance was a way with dealing with things.
Gee, he's a lot of help.
Hey, Mary? Do they belong to an offie clique?
Offie clique? I belong to the same clique, so I would probably not say that. You are very
honest. Stay in denial.
Anyway, in other school news, this is actually a sad story. I'm sure most of you will believe. But I approve this message. Mom says that teacher sent her 10-year-old autistic son into a cardboard box. Now, apparently that is the size of the box. Anyway, an infuriated South Carolina mom is claiming that her son's fourth grade teacher unfairly persecuted her autistic son by sending the 10-year-old to sit inside a large cardboard box at the back of the mainstream class. According to the reports, the Daily News, who spoke to the mom, said she recently learned that the TV-sized enclosure was where her son sat. Her boy's name is Sage. And asked for a pair of scissors and markers to decorate the box. That's how she found out about it. The teacher has been placed on
administrative
leave at Ronald Reagan Elementary School in Riverside County. Okay, he came home and he asked his mom, "Mommy, can I go to school with some scissors and some markers so that I can color and cut my cardboard box?" That's how she found out that the autistic boy was sitting in a box.
He rocks.
An earlier police investigation did not find any evidence of criminality. The mother says, I'm very angry. The thought of your child being put in a box is heartbreaking, says the 44-year-old. By law, we have to send our kids to school. And if they're mistreating the kids, by law, we're sending them in for torture. What? Anyway, she said the same teacher sent the boy into a supply closet before she acquired the box. Now, look.
That was cruel.
I have to say that I approve this message.
Listen, I applaud the kid.
You have to understand why I applaud putting the autistic boy in a cardboard box.
Now, wait.
Why?
Did you hear? Let's hear what the kid said. He told me the closet got too full and things started to poke him in the back. Once he said that, I contacted the principal and the sheriff, Rollins said.
Well, the bottom line is, what was he doing in the closet? He says that the teacher put him inside of a closet.
Yeah.
Now, that I don't think.
And then they ordered too many supplies and he started getting poked in the back. So then she had to buy him a box.
Why would she put him in a box?
First and foremost, why would an autistic kid go in the closet without railing or go in the box? Did the kid... I don't know.
They're not telling us why she put him in a box or why she chose a box, but I know why he went in a box.
Why did he go in a box, Reed?
You don't know?
No.
Search your childhood.
You are not going to say the old parents' adage that I spend all this money on kids' toys and all they want to do was play with the box.
The boy wanted to play with the box, James. That's exactly
right. No, and not only that, but
the
kid
rocks.
I think so.
He didn't mean that box.
He wanted to play
in the
box. He didn't want to learn math. He did not want to learn science. He did not want to learn social studies. He said, "Hey, teacher, what's in that box?" And she said, "Nothing. I'm going to go play in that. You go ahead and teach the lesson. This is not going to serve me. I'm playing in the box. You got some markers and some.
What
you got
kind
some
of
markers?
Autism?
Wait. You got some markers and some scissors? No, I'm sorry, Timmy. I don't. You know what? I'm going to talk to Mom. I'm going to get me some markers and scissors. Sorry, I got to teach the class. I got the box. We'll be back here tomorrow,
yeah,
right? 8 o'clock.
I got the box because I'm preparing it for your burial.
I've got the box. You teach what you got to teach. I'll be in the box. Yeah, hey, you know, Timmy, get my homework for me. I'm going to be in the box.
Listen, that kid insisted on...
Considering here that the kid never said anything... Until he wanted to decorate his box. He wanted to decorate it.
He wanted to make the party where he was going to be.
But he has autism, of course he wanted to decorate it. He couldn't differentiate the fact that this moron of a teacher is putting him in a box. Imagine what the rest of the kids, now this is a mainstream class that he's in. So he's autistic. No, we don't know what kind of autism he suffers from, whether it's Asperger's or what. I mean, we don't know. So, and there's different levels of autism.
Obviously, he has the Van Gogh type.
Oh, my God. Obviously.
And I'm sure the rest of the class is jealous. They wanted their own box.
Thank you, JC. The rest of the class was jealous. Why does Timmy get to play in the box? Timmy has autism. Yeah. Learn your lesson. I'm going to be back here decorating the box.
I'm
sure it had something to do with the kid and making the kid as comfortable as possible in a surrounding of his own choosing. But if I'm guessing correctly, I think I know where Mary was going a second ago. Talk about ostracizing somebody.
Oh, you think it's ostracizing the kid?
He's sitting in a box with the rest of the class. You don't think they're going to be talking about it and joking about it all day long?
They're talking and they're joking?
He doesn't care, but we don't know. They don't specify what type
he's autistic.
Level of autism.
Wait. It was obviously of no consequence to him because he wanted scissors and crayons.
Well, what else could he do? Well, at that point, he had no option.
It sounds like he's celebrating.
If I'm going to have to be in the box, I guess.
It sounds like you're exactly.
He celebrated
being in a box.
He's celebrating the box.
He's celebrating the fact that he had his own place.
Yes. The rest of the kids in the class are not celebrating that he had a box.
Who cares? I'm autistic.
They were jealous.
You, as a teacher, cannot just go and throw somebody in a box.
I'm autistic. I know nothing about this.
Now, I don't think she threw him anywhere. Because if I know anything about autism, even with Asperger's, if you try to take...
Stronger.
That person out of the situation that they feel comfortable in, then you have a whole other situation to deal with. They rail.
He knock her into the middle of next week.
That's right, because they have enormous strength. But think about this: this autistic boy had a breakthrough. Think about it. He found something in the class he liked, and he wants to be a part of it.
No, the teacher. Put something in the classroom that she thought that he might like. Here you go, dummy. Get in the box.
Hold on.
You're not going to be in class anyway. I'm wasting my time on you.
But if he had wanted to sit in the class, I doubt she could have forced this kid into a box.
That's right. She couldn't have forced him.
No. Okay, but I understand that. But what teacher has the right... And let me tell you something. If I had an autistic kid and the teacher put him in the box... She'd be in a box, a pine box.
I love lamps.
What?
I love lamps.
You love lamps? Oh, yes.
I love lamps.
10 minutes to Wapner.
10 minutes to Wapner.
Oh, my God.
I love lamps.
Come on. I can make a book of talk.
Are you just looking at stuff and saying that you love it? I love lamps. You never saw The Legend of Ron Burgundy?
No.
Listen, the kid loved the box. He wanted the box. He went and got crayons or markers and
a
scissor.
If hypothetical situation. If
Mommy.
I was the mother,
Mommy.
I would not have been loving the box.
Mommy.
I wouldn't be surprised if that kid sat in the closet at home.
Mommy. Mommy.
Or something, had his own little tent somewhere in the house.
That need crayons and scissors for box. Baby, what are you doing in box? Teacher gave it. Sit in box. Make colors. Give me scissors. Want to make spaceships. Go to moon. Love you, Mommy.
Give me scissors, Mommy. Teacher's going to get it.
Yes. Give me
right in the eye.
Give me markers, Mommy.
She thinks I have Asperger's, but I'm going to show her.
This isn't Cinnamon Toast Crunch. This isn't Cinnamon Toast Crunch. That's
oh
what
my
this
God.
Is.
Oh.
No, he did. He had a breakthrough, and he wanted to make the party where he was at.
In a box. That's what we should do.
This isn't Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
He didn't have a breakthrough. He didn't have a breakthrough. That's why he needed the scissors.
They were going to give him scissors. He obviously had a breakthrough. He's now making colors and cutting.
Yay!
Will he at home?
Yay!
Yay!
Ding, fries are done. Ding, fries are done. Ding, fries are done.
Ding, fries are done.
We're going to hell. I don't want to go to hell with you guys anymore.
Too late, Pally.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You got a reserved seat right next to us.
Van Halen, yay.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio. And if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day. And we're talking about the big 64 ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
One time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane. I was coming from overseas, and I don't know how this guy got a machine gun on the plane, but he stood up, man. He said, "Everybody, get on the floor, bro. Nobody look at my face." I started freaking out because he was Chinese. I was like, "Why is he talking like that?" Was screaming and crying. I was the only brother on the plane. Well, I thought I was the only brother. I looked over. There was one other black dude. He's from Nigeria. I looked over at him. He was looking right in my face, man. He didn't say two words to me. He just looked at me. He was like, he didn't need to talk. I know just what he's talking about. I looked right back at him. I was like, some white dudes on the front of the plane seen us. They were like, "Oh, my God. I think those black guys are going to try to save us." We were just communicating that we understood the situation. We were both seeing the same thing. What we understood was simple. Terrorists don't take black hostages. That's the truth. I have yet to see one of us on the news reading the hostage letter. They is treating us good. We all chilling and shit. I'd like to give a shout out to Ray Ray and Big Steve and Central Newport. You're not going to see it. And terrorists are smart. They know what they're doing there, you know. They terrorists. They know it was black people's bad bargaining chips. They called the White House and said, "Hello? We have got 5 black... Hello?"
Hey, guys, it's Reese on the radio. And are you nervous about calling Reese on the radio at 347-308-8701? That's fine. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We'll take all of your emails and we'll read them on the air. Don't like the show? We'll read it. Like the show? We'll definitely read it. You're indifferent about the show? We'll read it. Whatever it is you've got to say, we'll read it. Just send an email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That's right, reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Get your comments live on the air. Get your views. Get your position made. Whatever it is that you've got to say, just email us at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. The police, I'm not joking.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
On blogtalkradio.com/blogtalkradio. Number 347-308-8701 and don't forget to log on to reseonradio.com. Send us an email at reseonradio@yahoo.com. If you've got reviews, whatever it is you want to say, give us a holler. We appreciate it. Plenty of news happening. The primaries, of course, are going on. Now, look, I have to say something about the primaries. Rick Santorum, Newt Gingrich, Ron Paul, and Mitt Romney. You've heard a lot of crap about this whole thing about social issues with Rick Santorum. It's been dominating the news about his Christian values and whether or not if he becomes president of the United States, whether or not his Christian values are going to dominate the White House. The truth of the matter is that that is never, ever, 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 ever going to happen. But the press needs to make Rick Santorum an enemy to what they believe is the rest of mainstream America. And those are the people in New York and in L.A. and in Chicago and in Detroit and, the Democratic base, that they won't be able to live in sin.
Well, but do you think that if Rick Santorum is the GOP candidate, do you think that he can really win against Obama?
Absolutely.
Do you think that he has the guts and the to really stand up for himself?
Yes.
You do?
I think any one of the GOP candidates, with the exception of Ron Paul, can beat Barack Obama.
No, I think Newt Gingrich can.
Any Republican.
I think that Newt Gingrich, in order to beat Barack Obama, Newt Gingrich would have to be the candidate. I think that Santorum and Romney are too soft.
I disagree with you.
Go for it, JC.
I'm almost certain that if Santorum goes in, I'm almost certain there are enough people in this country that is so disenfranchised with Obama that they're looking for anything new in the White House right now.
I don't think so.
Please. I agree.
Please chime in, Vince.
I agree with Mary. I think Newt is your best bet because
no.
The other guys are gonna I think Newt is the only one who's shown the poise.
I think Newt can if I can say physically, mentally and.
Verbally.
And professionally do the job the best, but there's no way he's gonna get the nominee.
No, probably not.
Those
and I think,
taken out.
I think that Santorum has stepped up to the plate more so now
by pulling from the beginning
in the past than he was in the beginning. I do think that, and it's definitely going to be between Santorum or Romney.
What's his name?
Herman Cain.
Yeah, ever since Herman Cain got out and Santorum was way in the back of the pack, I chose him then because he was going to be my second anyways. I thought it would have been a great vice president for Herman Cain, and I told you then when I think we had a conversation a long time ago, Reese. When I told her that was my pony, that there were going to be a bunch of other scandals to knock the other guys out, apparently that hasn't happened. But he was my pony then. And he stepped up to the plate. He's stepping up more and more every week.
Well, according to what we've got so far, Romney has taken Arizona, which he was a shoo-in to take. Arizona was a big state for him. The big kahuna, so to speak, in the primary was going to be Michigan, and primarily because that Romney's dad was the governor of Michigan a long time ago, and this is the place of Mitt Romney's birth. And, you know, he's a hometown boy, but yet he's in a dead heat with Rick Santorum. And if Rick Santorum beats Mitt Romney in his home state, this could be troubling for Mitt Romney. And let me explain to you just a little bit of a dynamic. I'll go back to the 2000 election. And the reason why I say the 2000 election is so significant in a race like this and why I'm associating it with Michigan is a lot of people forget that in the 2000 election, Al Gore lost Tennessee. That's his home state.
Right.
Tennessee, I've been to Tennessee. I stayed in Tennessee for a while. And how he lost there, I don't know.
Well, he lost there in a general election. And losing your home state in a general election rings quite a bell.
Well, yeah. Hello.
You know, people have made that argument about the Florida vote in 2000, but imagine what it would have done for Al Gore had he won his home state. It was enough to hurt him, I believe, as a candidate. You don't lose your home state.
Well, how many electoral votes are in Tennessee?
Well, not a lot, but it sort of sets a tempo.
Florida, there are
probably as many teeth as there are in the state.
But it sets a precedent because losing your home state means that even your hometown people don't vote for you.
Don't support you.
I'll associate this with something personal. I remember when I ran for student council president in junior high school, IS 238, Anthony. I always have to associate it with something personal, but this is a great story.
Back to the arrogance and pompousness.
No, this is true. I ran for student body president in Susan B. Anthony, right? James remembers this, and I lost to about an inch.
Lost to a girl?
I lost to a girl named Gail Roberts.
Oh, wait. When do you find out how?
Yeah, wait till you find out how. This is a great story. Great story.
You see how it shaped everything he stood on since and now. You'll see where that starts from.
This was the epicenter.
Yes, the epicenter of who I am.
Of his political views.
Damn, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. And, hold on. And that was during the Reagan era.
Yes, it was. It was during the Reagan era. Now, listen, I did everything that I was supposed to do legally. I put up posters. I talked about my platform. I used catchy phrases. I even used rhyming phrases. Now, I came
what
in
was your
second.
Platform?
My platform?
Yeah.
Fiscal responsibility.
At junior high school? No wonder Gail won.
But she was popular.
Not only did she win. Wait a minute. She started late.
Go ahead. What? She only won what? What was that, Jay?
No, not only did she win, you're only telling half the story. She didn't just win. She started late.
She did start late. But she won.
She started late. You know, you were.
Go ahead.
At one point, I believe you were the only one running.
No, I was running. I was running against the third place winner, who was a girl who looked like Beatrice from, Margaret from Dennis the Menace. She did. And I was, but there are two things that destroyed my entire campaign. The first one was my sister, my oldest sister, who also went to the junior high, voted for my opponent.
Wow.
That's right.
Which sister was
Christina.
This? Wow.
Christine voted for my opponent. Even my own sister. This is why I quit it with Al Gore. And of course, as I'm mentioning about Mitt Romney, my own sibling did not vote for me, voted for my opponent. That being added, she had one campaign poster that destroyed me. She had one big, giant yellow poster that read this. It read sex in bold letters. In the small fine print, you had to walk up to it to read it. It says, "Now that I got your attention, vote for Gail Roberts." She beat me by 138 votes. He completely destroyed me with that one campaign poster, and of course, my sister voted.
But they let her put that up?
It wasn't against the school rules.
Listen, it's politics. Politics is dirty, dear.
Politics are a dirty game.
Why
and she played the game
that?
Well. And
sex sold even back then.
Sex sold even then, yes. Even in junior high. But it was a great poster. People thought it was funny. They thought it was. They didn't care about her policies. They just cared about that poster.
Well, because at that age, you don't care about policies. You don't even know what a damn policy is.
I thought you'd run on policy.
Not in junior high school.
Hey, look, we got a president in office based upon image.
We've had every president in office based upon image.
I won't go there.
Excuse me, Carter was ugly.
Yeah, but
ugliest president we've ever had.
But he was the good old boy. People felt good about him.
With an even uglier daughter.
Oh, that's just mean to say that about Amy. I had a crush on her when I was a kid.
Oh,
you would.
Have.
You would.
She was white and her father was in a position of power. Why wouldn't I?
She looked like Gerald Ford with blonde hair.
Well, according to the Michigan Republican primary votes, right now the numbers are really, really close. It's 81,063 votes. That's 40.9% of the vote for Mitt Romney. Rick Santoro, 76,248 votes. That's at 38.4% of the vote. Ron Paul is in third place. Newt Gingrich is a distant third with 13,000 votes and fourth, with 6.9% of the vote.
Why is nobody? Yeah. What happened to Gingrich? How do you win South Carolina like that and then just plummet from there?
I think South Carolina
was still in the 80s.
No, that's not true. I think
yes,
South Carolina. No.
Yes, they are. When I went to school, listen, my father and his family live in South Carolina. I remember going there when
it's
I was in junior high school. And I went there, and they were like, everybody was like, oh, you're from the Bronx. And I'm like, no, that's not the only place in New York. I'm from Queens. And they were listening to, like, music that I listened to in when I was, like, 9.
Yeah, they were very far behind.
And stuff that I was listening to at 13 when I was there, they had no idea.
See, that's such
that
an elitist New York attitude to take.
And I ended up punching this girl in her mouth in school and got kicked out of school because she called me an N-lover. Because I hung out with all the black kids.
Now, what drew you to do that?
Although you can't say it, she called you a nigger lover.
Oh, yes, she did. She called, well, I'll say it.
No, don't say it. Please.
Okay.
No, you
white
can't.
Girl, I don't think you can.
Why? Yes,
I
can.
You can say
what
it.
What did I tell you about that?
I can say I defended my
honor.
You can honor.
Say it when you are with us privately.
I had a
Madam Milk.
We were standing outside, and I had a bag of peanut M&Ms. In my hand, it was lunchtime.
She called you a nigger lover because you like peanut M&Ms?
No, because all the black kids loved me, and I hung out with all the black kids because that's what I did in New York. I mean,
let's get back
to
the primary. We'll talk about this one in the next.
You hung out with black hillbillies?
No, they weren't hillbillies. The black kids weren't hillbillies.
And again, another elitist attitude from a major city, JC, calling them hillbillies because they're from South Carolina.
Talking to him is like a 7-second delay.
Oh.
And the delay gets longer as you get further south. You ever try to talk to someone from Atlanta?
James, please, do me a favor.
When I was there, I would leave school and I would walk right down the street. And they still had, like, old-fashioned soda shops. Like, you could go in.
What is so wrong with traditionalism?
No, it was great. But, you know, I loved the black people, and they hated me. They
hated me. Lover.
He said, I love the black people.
Yeah, I just, wow.
You heard that, James? She
love
said,
the black.
I love the black people.
Yeah. I caught that.
Okay. But I have to get this word in. Go on, please.
Me? You talking to me?
No, hold on. Look at that. That's just vicious. They ask you to go home.
No, they called her an N-lover, first of all. Okay.
Oh, yes, I know that.
And on the trailer.
Well, you can't have that type of behavior in the trailer park.
Trailer park trash is not allowed to be trailer park trash.
You cannot have that behavior in the trailer park. No, but
no.
The point that I'm making, and let's get back to the damn primary.
Unless, you know, you're sitting outside watching a 22-inch black and white TV with NASCAR on it and a cooler of beer.
And every time you step out that screen door with half a screen in it, dueling banjos playing in the background.
No, again, that's
let me just say, yes, we lived in a trailer, but we lived in a double wide trailer with a sunken living room. It had like we weren't rich, but it had that old shag carpet on the floor.
The green one, right?
We all had our own. Yes, the green one. We had like brown furniture.
They were redneck riche.
We were.
Redneck riche.
My father was in the military, so we had some type of
high class trash. I like that one. High class trash. I like that.
I may be white trash, but fancy's my name.
But the point is that it's still too close to call for Romney and Santorum in Michigan. Romney only 41% with Rick Santorum right on his tail at 38.1%. What this is going to look like at the end of the night, we don't know, but of course we will talk about it tomorrow. Let me look at the delegates so far, because this is important. With Mitt Romney winning Arizona, this puts him at what I would consider a very comfortable lead, but losing Michigan could hurt him a great deal. And let me explain to you why I say that. It's because the other states, if they find or see that he can't win his home state, the support for him will certainly start to plummet.
Well,
right now,
you know what's going to hurt him?
What's going to hurt him?
His views and his voting on the Detroit bailout.
You think that's going to hurt Mitt Romney?
Absolutely.
Well, we'll find out. But you
he
know,
was against it.
He's still running a close race. Anyway, so right now Mitt Romney has a total of 156 delegates. Newt Gingrich is still in second place with 38. And Rick Santorum is just behind him with 37. Ron Paul has 27 delegates.
But 156 in comparison to 38, I mean, that is a...
But this is the reason why Super Tuesday is so important. If Rick Santorum wins Michigan, Romney's home state, the momentum can easily change for Rick Santorum, because regular voters or other voters in other states will see, even his home state didn't vote for him.
He can't win.
Up to exactly. Well, can't win his home state. That disenfranchisement or that sort of uncomfortableness that a lot of Republican base or Republican voters have had a problem with Mitt Romney will say, look, you can't win at home. This is not the guy we need to send out there. So this could be a windfall for Rick Santorum. Now, of course, having the numbers with him just underneath him, you know, again, still being a tight race without the precincts all being reported, things could change. So we'll see how it is that that goes within the next couple of hours, I guess.
No matter what happens,
yeah, we'll know by 11 o'clock.
Definitely, you know, in the lead of over 180 points almost.
Well, it's going to be, again, the biggest problem. Excuse me. It's less than that. So it's definitely less than that. But when the rest of this comes out, of course, we will report it tomorrow. We'll see what it looks like, and we'll of course have audio from not just the speeches, but of course the media's reaction to that. It's going to be a close. It's going to be a close race. It's going to be.
Are we going to break at the bottom of the hour?
Yeah, we're actually going into a break right now. If you need, these are the rest of the states that are left. The ones that have a yellow check next to them are the ones that have already happened.
Okay, what are we going into next? Because I've got a little something.
Okay, well, if you want to go into what you want to go into next, that is absolutely
fine. As long as it's not wrestling, JC.
That's fine. But
no,
it's not wrestling.
This is serious business.
Okay, well, we'll go into your thing.
We're not wrestling.
No, when we come back, we'll get into JC's story, and then after that, we will get into Holly Van Vost, who this woman is, and what she did at St. Patrick's Cathedral that has gotten her some attention even a reality show when we return. I don't know how in the world this can happen. You know what? I think we need to get a reality show. I think we need to. We need to get our own reality show. Anybody down with that?
Chicken.
Let's get our own reality. Peace on the radio. We'll be back.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the radio, and we are back, and we are live on blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio. The number is 347-308-8701. If you wish to opine, holler back. Give a shout.
Holler back.
I hate it when she does that.
I love that. That's like the favorite, my favorite.
See, when I say holler back, youngin.
Okay, this is what I should say. Holler back. Holler back.
Yes, that would be better.
That's
don't do
for
the ghetto
cross over me, bro. That's
that,
not for
I
me.
Don't look. I don't like the ghetto thing.
For those of you out there listening, that's our resident Lily Flower trying to be ghetto.
What?
Say it again, JC.
That's our resident Lily Flower trying to be ghetto.
Yes, exactly.
No one is trying to be ghetto. Okay. Let me just tell you
that
I'm not
that's a that's our that's our that's our beautiful, lovely, sensitive lilac, trying her desperate her desperate worst to look like a dandelion.
I am ghetto. I'm not trying to be ghetto. That's just who I am. Mary is just ghetto. Okay.
Anyway, let's get. She can walk to Facebook. Reese on the radio. Sorry, I'm just like giving out some just doing some promo. Anyway, JC, you
or ReeseOnTheRadio.com.
That's or ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can what was the thing you wanted to mention today?
It's something I really didn't want to save till Thursday. I need a therapy minute right now. Just a minute.
Okay, that's fine.
Something's happened to me 2 days in a row and I'm kind of freaked out about it.
Oh, wow.
I was talking to my cousin on the phone today. And we were having a conversation and we were talking about cooking, of course.
Mm-hmm.
and her phone kind of fizzled out,
mm-hmm.
and some static fizzled in,
mm-hmm.
and when the static cleared, someone was on the phone whispering to me, but I could hardly make out what it was that they were saying.
Okay.
Towards the end of the conversation yesterday, I'm trying to figure out who it was that is whistling. Now, my cousin could hear me talking. She could hear me talking, but she didn't know who I was talking to.
Right.
So meanwhile, I'm listening to the whisper. So towards the end of me and the whisperer's conversation yesterday, I realized the whisperer was calling my name.
Really? Okay.
And so, you know, I kind of ignored that. Well, maybe that was like, you know, somebody with a kid with a remote or something, or I might have been listening because she was on her cell phone. I was on my house phone, which is corded. In any case, it ended, and my cousin hung up and called me back and said, "Who are you talking to?" I'm like, well, I was talking to you, but then, you know, I told her what happened. Well, it happened again today.
You have a stalker?
And the person was caught. Huh?
You have a stalker? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, I don't know. I don't know if it was a stalker. Sounded a lot like white noise.
Are you talking about something supernatural?
I have no idea. I'm not
comfortable with supernatural, man. I don't do the supernatural.
But I freaked
not
out,
just
and
your
I,
radio.
I'm kind of freaked out about it. Because
well, freaked out in what regard?
Whoever I was talking to knew who I was, and they were responding to what I was saying today, but I couldn't really understand what they were saying because it was such a loud whisper. And when I would talk, there'd be nothing, but then I get a response. But then when I would ignore the sound, it would then call my name and then repeat it till I answered. So I called my brother to the phone.
Uh-huh.
I had my brother listen to it, and my brother was like, well, they're calling you, but I don't know who it is. And meanwhile, my cousin hung up again. Uh-huh. And then she called me back and said, who were you talking to and why did you put your brother on the phone? And I explained to her what happened. And I'm freaked out by it. And it happened almost about the same time today at around maybe between 1:30 and 2 o'clock.
Huh.
And I don't know what to make of it.
I don't know either.
And I'm freaked out about it. And
it was KM trying to send you subliminal messages.
Maybe.
Quite possibly.
I
mean, it totally freaked me out.
How am I supposed to respond to this? I don't do this weird stuff very well. I don't do the weird thing.
Well, I got my Bible.
It's not in public.
Yeah, exactly. Not in public. I don't know. The ghost thing freaks me out. The weird stuff freaks me out. I'm afraid of all of that stuff. But let me tell you what I'm really afraid of. I'm afraid of the society that we've turned into, James. I'm frightened to death at what the society has turned into, and that is because of this story. Now, I want to send you the link, guys, but all you have to do is look up the woman's name. Her name is Holly Van Vost, and that's like toast with a V, like Victor, V-O-A-S-T. Holly Van Vost was busted for showing her breasts at St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Love her already.
A frequent flasher was busted at St. Patrick's Cathedral for breaking an unwritten commandment. Thou shalt keep thine shirt on. Holly Van Zandt remained fully closed Tuesday during a court appearance where she turned down a plea deal but then stopped by the Manhattan Courthouse press room and bared her breasts to the reporters. The media over-friendly Van Vost acknowledged her topless January 30 jaunt down the center aisle of St. Patrick's Cathedral and said it was absolutely a publicity stunt. I want to have a reality show, she said. Nothing works like tatas. Did her plan work for more exposure? Apparently, she says, yes, it did. The 46-year-old Van Vost, who sports a penciled-in mustache and a mop of peroxide blonde hair, made news in the past for doffing her top inside Grand Central Terminal outside the Statue of Liberty and aboard the Staten Island Ferry. According to a criminal complaint about her cathedral appearance, Van Vost walked in the middle aisle while talking very loudly and removing her top, exposing her bare breasts. About 50 horrified visitors to the Midtown Cathedral were quickly turning away and walking away from the defendant until a caretaker asked her to leave the premises. When Van Vost declined, her wrists were soon covered by handcuffs. She was charged with criminal trespass, disorderly conduct, public exposure, and possession of marijuana. Two containers of pot were received from a bag carried into the cathedral by the defendant, Van Vost. Her lawyer, Ron Tubby, insisted that the client did nothing wrong under New York state law. He says the arrest was completely illegal and said that his client rejected an offer of a guilty plea for public exposure for a sentence of time served. Folks, has it really come down to this? Do women want to be on TV so bad that they will expose their bodies?
She's a weirdo. She looks like Bruce Valanche, the comedy writer.
Bruce Valanche. Yeah.
Bruce Valanche is like 400 pounds. What are you talking about?
I said on a bypass.
This looks like a man, baby.
But she's got the breast of a 39-year-old.
Yeah, but why are her hands so dirty?
Yes, her hands are filthy. Did you notice that?
And somebody really need to send her to a dentist.
She looks like she was digging in charcoal.
And eating it.
She looks like she's been lighting lighters for a very long time.
She looks like she was digging in charcoal, and JC says, and eating it.
Do you see her yuck mouth?
I could barely see it because her mouth is closed. But do I have to look for a website of her? I think I need to.
Oh, I'm looking at her video.
Oh, she has a video?
I'm watching the video as we speak.
In unison, Mary and I. There's a video.
There's a video. Oh, wow. I mean, if she gets.
Huffington Post Facebook link I just sent you.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at it now, going up to it. And is that from the Huffington Post?
Yes.
Probably love this freakazoid. It's Van Vos.
Oh, my gosh. It's her alter ego, Harvey Van Toast. This is the Staten Island Ferry in the Empire State Building. Oh, God, her breast milk looked like it might have dried up years
but
ago.
Wait a minute. In this video, am I going to see her bare naked breast?
Yeah, I'm looking at them right now, flapping in the wind.
Oh. No, my spine.
All right, wait. Perfect. Send me the link. I gotta figure this out.
What a pervert this guy. Okay, well here's the video. Hold on. Let's take a look at it. I gotta turn down the volume.
No, she's got the breast of a 39-year-old.
That bad.
No, they like the breast of a 39-year-old.
Dope ass pictures. Is that the name of her photography company? Dope ass pictures presents.
Dope ass pictures, and she's ghetto. Is that what happened to ghetto white chicks out of Queens?
Oh my God! Don't compare this bro. She's not.
I don't want it. People who were standing around her while she stands with a photograph with a picture with a camera. She's holding her own camera. She looks like a man with breasts.
What a weird-looking chick.
You have to see
this.
She
dyed that hair one too many times.
You know what you need to do, JC?
She's got hair like Bruce Valanche.
JC, this is what you need to do. She's on the bus. Do me a favor. Go to the Reese on the Radio page on blogtalkradio.com.
Oh, my God, look at her yuck mouth.
Oh, the mouth is horrible.
Oh, my.
Listen, go to Reese on the Radio, the Reese on the Radio page on blogtalkradio.com.
That's
on the bottom. You can put a Facebook, Facebook comment. Put the link to this Huffington Post picture there, so that people can go see this. This is just frightening. Von Post. Is she German? Does she have a German accent?
She's telling she might, but she's talking in character.
She's teasing her hair. I don't know
what a sick chick she is.
She's sick. She wants a reality show. Would you watch this garbage?
No, never.
Hell no.
She's sitting on. Yeah. This looks like a man.
She does look like a man, and you know that that's not her real hair color because her eyebrows are black like her mustache.
It's a penciled in mustache.
And her teeth almost match her eyebrows. She does have yuck mouth, JC. You were definitely right. You can be the cutest thing ever, but if you got yuck mouth, boo, you're out. If you got ugly hands and yuck mouth, you're finished. You're toast, man. Toast.
It's like she's chewing on sidewalk. It's really fast.
No, it looks like she's chewing on tar. On ass.
So unattractive.
Buttery sidewalk.
Asphalt. Like,
she was chewing on buttery sidewalk. This is just awful. There's
more video of her on the top of the Empire State Building. You have to see this video if you get a chance.
Oh, man. It's, and she, this is just awful. I can't watch this. This is like, a nasty voyeurism video. I can't even watch it, but sure
Hello.
Enough. Are you watching this now, James?
Yeah.
Let's send this to Stephen Hawkins.
Her boobs look better when she has her painted fingertips
right
over top of them. She should keep it that way. Her tits look better that way.
Hey, do you have to use that word?
Well, that's what they are. They're tits.
Anyway.
When they're uncovered, keeping it real, my brother. And when they're uncovered, they look like moobs.
Okay, I know one guy that would sleep with her, though.
I know a couple of guys. I know plenty of guys.
I know one guy who would sleep with her.
You know, she's a photographer who looks like she's been smacked in the face with her own camera.
James, would you do her?
Huh?
And a heartbeat. And a heartbeat.
I live in Norfolk now. You're damn right. We don't see that kind down here too much.
Well, she got too many teeth for you people down in South Carolina.
Give her a couple of more months and them teeth will be rotting right out of her face.
It's some very, very disturbing and sad and uncomfortable news for me personally. Listen, I can understand the whole thing about snitches get stitches. But have you heard the story about Tyler Clemente, the young man who jumped off the George Washington Bridge after he was videotaped with his gay lover?
Yeah, I heard the story.
I have.
James, how about you?
No, I didn't hear this.
Okay, so at Rutgers University, a young man named... Tyler Clemente was a gay young man who was going to school at Rutgers, and he had... Yes, Rutgers University in New Jersey. He was with a gay lover, and his roommate took his Mac computer, and placed it and set it up by remote control to record Tyler Clemente inside of his room making out, having sex, or whatever, with his gay lover. Tyler Clemente had not come out to anyone that he was gay. Can we get rid of that noise in the background? Sorry. So, when it was found out that he had been videotaped, his roommate would go out to several people after this, invited him on his tour account join in on viewing this gay trick. Tyler Clemente, finding out that he had been videotaped and people knew about the gay tryst, walked to the George Washington Bridge and jumped off.
Did he walk to the GW Bridge from Rutgers?
I don't know, but they say he did. Yeah, they say he... I don't know if he walked or if he took the bus.
How far is Rutgers from
GW? It's a considerable distance.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway... So there were two people who were responsible for this video ever coming out. And that is one gentleman who is now being charged. His name is Daron Ravi, and his roommate named Molly Wee. Now, Molly Wee is, of course, Asian, but Molly Wee has been given immunity to testify against Mr. Ravi. Even though she took part in exposing the homosexual tryst by Tyler Clemente. They never, ever reveal that. Anyway, the former Rutgers student who cut a deal in the Tyler Clemente suicide case testified today that she felt bad about spying on his dorm room tryst with another man. Under cross-examination, Molly Wee also said that she was overwhelmed with emotions when the cops told her Clemente had publicly killed himself. Now, Molly Wee is 19 years old. She was initially charged with invasion of privacy, but avoided trial and possible prison time by taking the stand against her co-defendant, Clemente's roommate, Daron Ravi. On Monday, she testified that she and her former pal Ravi, used her MacBook Pro, her computer, and got a remotely operated webcam to watch Clemente make out with a lover on September 19, 2010. Ravi had planned to spy on his roommate again on September 21st. But Wee claims, she did not find out until cops grilled her on September 23rd, the day after Clemente jumped from the George Washington Bridge.
Oh, how convenient. On him with your computer on the 19th, and then all of a sudden on the 21st, you had no idea that this was going on. Whatever, Chinese girl.
She says,
in the armor, damn it.
She says, I was racist. She's a chicken armor for Mr. Ravi. I'll tell you that much. I was sad and overwhelmed, she said, quote, I felt very bad if anything had happened. I was just overwhelmed with emotions. I just wanted to be with my parents. Oh, no, we so sad.
We so sad. I want mommy. I want daddy.
Okay, all right. Let's not go too far. Now, listen, I have to ask you a question. Is this type of snitching acceptable? Gentlemen, you'll go first. James?
Wait a minute. Is what acceptable?
This type of snitching acceptable, yes or no?
What type of snitching? Snitching on her pal.
She is now protected by the government to testify against her roommate, even though it was her computer that was used to record this homosexual tryst with Tyler Clemente.
Well, the two of
wait,
us.
Wait. I want your answer last.
Okay.
James?
No. I'm shocked. Shocked and appalled. I mean, frankly, it was her computer, and, you know, whose idea was it? Or is she trying to say it was his?
See, exactly. Exactly. She's trying to say that Mr. Robbie, because I ain't going to say his first name again, Robbie was the one who wanted to record this. It was just on my computer.
But she went along with it.
Nobody, read between the lines, Mary. Read between the lines, James. Read between the lines, Stacey. What do you see happening here? Why is it that Miss Wee was able to testify against Mr. Robbie in the States?
Somebody has to get a charge. Somebody's going to catch a charge.
Sure, the man.
What? You hear what James said?
Yes, yeah, the man.
And why did the man get charged?
Because they're going to charge him with a hate crime.
That's right. Because it's a harder conviction against a woman.
Well, of course it is. Because because people feel sympathetic for women, whereas they don't feel sympathetic for men. And not only do they not feel sympathetic for men, or less sympathetic for men than they do for women, this is probably some type of packy Middle Eastern something gentleman. His last name is Robbie. He is probably of the Arabic culture.
Well, lastly, like, Robbie might be Pakistani. Yeah, I agree
with
you.
He's probably Pakistani.
I agree with that.
He probably speaks Urdu and he celebrates all the Muslim...
Ramadan.
Yeah, Ramadan.
Right.
He fasts for a month.
But, right.
Bottom line is that putting him as a villain in front of a jury for a hate crime is easier than putting an Asian woman on trial for
it. But they should have put the both of them on trial.
Because now they're making the Asian woman look docile.
Oh, yeah, because that's Asian women are docile because American men go over to Asia and buy them for $10,000 and bring them back here.
Where do you read this?
And call them... Oh, I've seen it.
Okay.
My own two eyes. You don't know how many military or government employees I have seen living in the DMV area that have these women from other countries, not just Asia, Russia, everywhere around the world. It's like they have this thing. They just go and buy women. They buy them. They bring them back here. They bring them and their kids back here. And they take care of them, and they treat them. They take care of them in one aspect, and they treat them like crap in another aspect.
Do you think that a part of this case may have been based on stereotypes?
Of course.
Right, because we cannot have Asian women.
What's the best scenario? Here's this Muslim guy.
Well, he's a guy.
But
doesn't matter whether or not he's Muslim, but he's a guy.
He's a Muslim. That's an extra added
on
bonus.
No, it's not extra. They'll say that this.
Muslim religion.
No, they've not once even gone after his religion.
They don't
what
have
they're saying
to.
Is
that
his
he's
last a guy,
name is Robbie.
And guys are much cooler to gay people than girls are. This Asian woman, they believe, would be harder for a jury to believe or to convict her for something as malicious.
How can somebody from the country that comes up with Hello Kitty?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that was pretty. Wow, that was hardcore. Did you hear the hate out of her mouth, Stacey? Did you hear that?
Well, you know, I don't think
it has anything to do with
the Asian woman. I don't think it has anything to do with the Asian aspect.
No, James, you said what?
I don't think it has anything to do with the Asian aspect. It's harder for a woman because you'll usually find a woman being friends with a gay person. You know?
Okay.
Well, in this, no, hold on. What I believe that you're saying, James, is I'm sort of in agreement with you. I think that that's a very valid point. I think that the prosecutor in this case believed that it was harder to prove that a woman would do something malicious enough to cause a gay person to kill himself.
Well,
because women are more prone to accept gay men than men are.
Okay, but
correct.
He agrees.
I agree, but obviously, that's not the truth. The prosecutors haven't seen the show called Snap. Broad Snap all the time. Just because you're a woman doesn't mean that you're any less guilty for anything that a man does. Sometimes women can we can be even more harsh than men can because
yeah,
we have
women
more
can be more no no but women can be more harsh.
Maybe
to
the
hetero,
guy,
what, can you let me finish. Women are known in the grand scheme of things, women can be more harsh to heterosexual men and they can be more harsh to women. But not to gay men. They believe that heterosexual women and gay men are simpatico.
But that's not the truth.
Well,
if you know it's not the truth. If you know any gay men and heterosexual women, that's not the truth.
I agree.
Any interaction.
But think about it. Who's usually watching shows like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy? Who's watching shows like, most except for gay people, anything on Logo? Or RuPaul.
Project Runway, Drag Race, Queer as Folk. Women are more, the L word. More women are prone to be against. They believe.
You won't catch men watching it, at least not straight men.
You will catch men watching the L word.
Yeah, men will watch
straight
the L word.
My stepfather.
Still leads right back, but it leads into, still leads, circles back. It circles back into what we were saying. Now, lesbianism is more accepted with men, all right, than homosexuality.
But homosexuality is more accepted by women, and they believe, bottom line, they believe that women are harder to convict for a hate crime against a gay man than it is for a man. In other words, the prosecutor's believing, you know what, if I get a jury up there and I say this man is committing a hate crime against a gay man, the prosecutors will believe it more often than they would believe, hey, look at this Asian, or the jurors, sorry, the jurors will believe, let me put this Asian woman on the stand and say that she committed a hate crime against a gay, she was forced, she was bullied into this by a man and said, hey, you know.
But wait, don't let it come out that the man, that this suicide victim killed himself because of the man that he was kissing was someone that she liked. What if that was the case?
Very strong argument.
Now, I have personally gotten into a fist fight right in the middle of Morgan, listen to me, of Adam.
You know, you've been in a lot of fist fights. You know that? You're a very violent woman.
I am a violent, well, I used to be. I'm retired from that now.
Well, like you said it.
I can't take blows like I used to. But, I actually got into, I had a best friend that was gay, and we went to a party. He invited me to the party. The gentleman that was holding the party, it was his birthday party. My friend really liked this guy and really thought that because he had befriended him that this guy liked him, and it ended up that the guy really had liked me, and we, you know, ended up kind of, we were caught kissing in the stairwell or whatever, and my gay friend, like, went off. Like, embarrassed this guy in front of all of his family, was, like, smacking his chest outside of the party like he was a freaking
animal.
Oh, this sounds like a Maury episode.
It is a Maury
episode.
It does
to me.
But we ended up getting into a fight, and we got into a physical altercation, and then he ended up trying to get some woman, to beat me up in the middle of my apartment building, and I smacked that girl down.
We need to investigate you and your fist fights. Man, we might need to dedicate a show to these fist
fights.
We need
to get us in therapy.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, here's my point. Let me ask you this in final before we close out. Let me ask you guys this. Do you believe that because this guy, Tyler Clemente, was videotaped and killed himself, do you believe that someone should be held responsible because they videotaped him and shared that information? Do you believe that there should be prison time for anyone? I'll let the guys go first. JC, you first.
Civil litigation.
Say again, JC?
Civil litigation. I don't think jail time, no.
So you don't believe that there should be any criminal charges?
He consciously walked up to the bridge and he jumped.
Okay. Well, James obviously disagrees. James, go on.
Okay, wait a minute. Right. The guy walked onto the bridge and he jumped because he was outed by this person. One thing led to the other. So, yeah, he's responsible and he should pay for it.
You believe that there was criminal negligence on the part of Ravi and Mr.
Sure. This guy, I mean, come on. All right, you said it was his roommate?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he had to know that his roommate wasn't out yet. Why was he taping him in the first place?
No, hold on. I got to stop you. Hold on. I got to stop you, James. We're only assuming that he knew that he was gay and he was outing him. So let's not go there. Let's just deal with the fact that
he was taping him. But he was taping. All right, fine. Whether he was gay or not, all right, he was still taping him. And it had to be, you know, there was no reason to tape it. They weren't just going to watch it for their own enjoyment. All right?
You know, why do people make them
and
anyway?
Go ahead, James.
It was taped and it was put out. Okay? There's, you know, without a thought to this man's privacy, without a thought to how this man would feel about it at all.
Okay,
it's
all right.
Malicious.
What about you?
No, again, like I said, he walked up to the bridge himself and he jumped.
What? He took his own life. But according to the prosecutor,
I think we're not talking about kids here. We're talking about adults. They're in college.
We're talking about adults. But again, JC, this guy would not have walked off a bridge if not for this. If not for them taping him, that man would still be alive today.
Okay, James, I understand your point, and JC, I understand your point.
I have a question for you. Hold on. I got a quick question for
Fine. All the guys can talk, and I'll wait.
That's why I want you to go last. I want you to have the strongest
point. My question for Montgomery. Let's say, for example, they were sneaking around, and let's say that they got busy in the car.
Right.
And they got arrested for it, and a news report happens to be nearby because something's going on at a bank or a building or something.
There you go. Okay.
And if the news came out and told the story, not is the news responsible for him walking up on a bridge and killing himself?
Because there is the assumption of privacy. Okay, half the reasons people do stuff in a car or in a bank or, you know, in a public park is because there's the hint of getting caught. It
right.
adds
okay.
to the excitement. So okay. you have so to, so there
right.
is
but
no
the,
presumption
James, the question,
of
the question,
privacy.
James.
This man was
the
in
question.
His own room.
Right, he
but
was in his own dorm room, but he was in. He was somewhat
if the
in his public domain.
If the reporters had reported it, if the reporters had reported it on the news,
right? If he was, if he was hauled off,
jail for it.
If he was hauled off in handcuffs and he had been exposed on the news and his mug shot or whatever, what would have been the outcome? I understand your point, JC, but I think James has made a very valid point. He's saying that Tyler Clemente thought that he was under the protection of his private home. I mean, James, am
with a roommate.
Am I succinctly making your point?
Yes.
So I believe that what Jamie makes is a very valid point. So you're saying that because it was exposed, that was the problem. Mary, you get the last word.
Thanks. Listen, the kid walked over to the GW and killed himself. That's obvious. There was more issues going on than just the video and the outing of him. Can I say that probably enabled him or helped him enhance his want to kill
mm-hmm.
himself, which I don't comprehend, but whatever. Because you are who you are. The day that we, this day and time that we live in, it is what it is.
All right.
Do I think that they should have to pay in some way, shape, or form for this? Yes, they should. But do I think that it's jail time worthy and that it's taxpayer money worthy? Probably not.
Okay, so you believe that there should be some sort of negligence, but it shouldn't be criminal.
Civil.
No.
Like I said, civil.
All right.
Civil.
So you agree with JC. All right. That's our show for today. We thank you all for being a part of it. KM, if you're out there, You know, I extended the invitation. You had 3 hours. Of course, you didn't call. We appreciate that.
Punk.
KM, as woman to woman, if that's who you are, please call in. You can call in and just talk to me. You and I can have a private conversation. Call in.
All right, that's our show.
Back.
For Mary, Mary, Kool-Aid Man, Jay's Montgomery, and JC, it's Resona Radio. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow. It's Resona Radio. Holler back.